Welcome back, Bud Light Port Paradise.
Here we go.
Bud Light Port Paradise, with two cruise ships, 4,000 shipments, and one private island concert. Find out how to get on board at Facebook.com/Bud Light. Here we go.
And that was just the first night.
Us or my campaign, that's just one more politician.
Sources telling CNN that the official Perry announcement will come in the key state of South Carolina. John Fricke, CNN.
You've heard about all the post offices that are set to close. That means lots of layoffs. The Postal Service now asking Congress to allow them to lay off 120,000 people. They also want to change health and retirement benefits. The big swings of the Dow continued yesterday with a 400-point climb. CNN's Ali Velshi says you better get used to it.
We're going to see this kind of activity until there's some real leadership in this market, somebody convinced that the economies of the world and the United States are not as vulnerable as they appear to be right now. I think you're going to see a lot of this volatility. It's the new normal for a few months.
A new study from Harvard says women with depression also are more likely to have a stroke. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, you're a... What are you?
I'm a senior master technician, Mike.
Can the Works Fuel Saver package save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, it does. By making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Save money on gas with the Works Fuel Saver package. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you right now for the Works Fuel Saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts of oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 8/31/11. Claim based on EPA averages.
The majority of Americans live within 5 miles of a Radio Shack, which means you're close to being able to trade and save. Bring in your eligible electronics, like a phone or a computer, and get instant savings on new electronics. Can you trade in an old phone? Yes. A pair of corduroy pants? No. But an MP3 player? Yes. Right now, trade in any eligible working laptop and get $50 or more toward a new tablet, $399 and up. Trade and save at Radio Shack.
Offer good at participating stores through 8/14/11. Trade in product condition and other restrictions apply. All trade-ins final, not available or prohibited by law.
This week on Wall Street looks like one of those sequence puzzles from the SAT. Monday, sell-off. Tuesday, rally. Wednesday, sell-off. Thursday, rally. What comes next? U.S. stock futures make clear no one really knows. S&P futures right now up 5 points. NASDAQ futures down 1. Dow futures up 35. This is European stock indexes begin building gains, up 1.5 to 2%, as France, Italy, Spain, and Belgium each ban short selling of stocks to try to bring some temporary stability. Short selling is betting a stock price will fall. A bit more troubling, France, whose banking system is making a lot of people worried, reports its own economic growth came to a complete stop in the second quarter. Google Plus has a message for Facebook. The game is afoot. In a much-anticipated move, Google has now added games to its Google Plus social network, 16 games by 10 gaming companies. They include Angry Birds and Zynga Poker. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Now at the Home Depot, save $50 to $750 on top brand appliances. The bigger the ticket, the higher the savings. Add that to free delivery and hauled away, and you've got the perfect opportunity to retire that tired old fridge, replace that energy-wasting washer, or kick out that uninspired oven with appliances that look great in your home and on your budget. All thanks to savings of up to $750. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through August 24th, U.S. only. See store for details.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning. It is First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Thank you for punching in this early morning, just about 7 minutes after 6 o'clock on this Friday First Shift program. A pleasure to be here as always. Truly an honor to be a part of your early morning routine, and I want to thank all of you that do punch in with us bright and early every single day, Monday through Friday. We have a jam-packed show today. You know, yesterday I started the show by saying, gee, there's not a lot going on. Today, I need an extra 3 hours. I'm not going to get it, so I'm going to try to fit in as much as I possibly can before we send you off to what I hope will be an amazing weekend for all of you. With that said, we should probably just hit the ground running because there is that much going on this morning. I will let you know that we have two great guests on this Friday program. Jeanette Pierce will be joining us from Inside Detroit. I'm really looking forward to sharing her with all of you. And, of course, our political insider, strategist Joe DeSano, will be with us a little bit later on in the program. He's got some pretty dynamic stuff to share with us this morning. One of my favorite segments of the week. I had an amazing evening last night. I was the guest speaker at the Livonia Democratic Club. First of all, let me say that when I talk about, you know, showing up and standing up on this show, that group is a stand-up group. There were just so many people there I happen to know personally that are amazing activists. Natalie Mosier, Colleen Mills, who has been on this show, who has called the show with Citizens for Peace. Senator Glenn Anderson was there. Representative Phil Kavanaugh was there. There are just a lot of wonderful people. Trevor Anderson, who is with We Are the People, very involved in state Democratic politics. Just an amazing group. Livonia, for those of you that aren't familiar, is a very political community and very divided politically. And although they are considered very conservative, the progressive side of the Livonia political spectrum is extremely, extremely active, and these are great people. I want to thank especially Carl Burnett, who is the president of the Livonia Democratic Club, and Richard Thomas, their vice president, for their hospitality last night. I truly enjoyed meeting both of them and having a great time. Carl and I are going to make some time to have lunch next week. We just didn't have enough time to visit. But truly an amazing evening. Of course, those of you that were paying attention yesterday, you know, Mitt Romney didn't have a very good day. We're going to get to some audio on that here in just a bit. The Republicans debated in Ames, Iowa last night. I was able to watch about 30 minutes of the debate, and we'll have some audio from last night's festivities as well, and a lot of other stuff. Some of it we didn't get to yesterday. Some of it I got to make sure I get to you today. And then just issue after issue after issue. But Jeff Radford, as we begin this Friday morning program, our Detroit Tigers, certainly under the leadership of Justin Verlander, win last night. Our Detroit Lions play their first preseason game today. Not a bad way to go into a weekend, huh?
You're pretty fired up, aren't you? NFL football started last night. Of course, like you said, the Lions start off tonight, though. Football, you're all happy about it. You got to be happy about it.
Well, I am. You know, I only watched about 20 minutes last night because there was just so much going on, and it's preseason, and it's not that big a deal. And I don't know if I told you, I bought the NFL package this year. for my cable, so I can watch every game, any game, all the games, anytime. Doesn't matter if something's blacked out locally. I got it now.
Does it? Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought the blackout still takes effect.
No, not if you buy the ultimate package. I don't even remember what they call it, but it's through Comcast. It was only $7.95 a month.
That's weird, because I know MLB does that. Even if it's blacked out in your area, then you're not going to get it on MLB unless you get it. Even then.
Well, I don't think we're going to have any issues selling out Ford Field this year. I don't think it's going to be an issue anyway, to be honest with you. So, I specifically asked if it's blacked out locally, will I still get it? And they said, absolutely, you will still get the Detroit.
Well, you know what else you get? You get the Red Zone channel.
Yes.
Yeah, and you've never experienced the Red Zone.
No, I shared that with you this morning. I've never seen it. So
that is you're in for a treat. That's one of the best things about NFL right now.
I am not a lazy guy. I truly am not, and I enjoy my weekends, and I try to stay very active. But I've got to tell you, starting September 11th, my Sundays will become, you know, normally what I do is. I get up early anyway. I do whatever work I've got to do during football season. I usually put on either a pot of chili or a pot of soup or a pot of spaghetti sauce. And then I'm on the couch the rest of the day until I go to bed that night watching football. That's my Sunday. And I make no apologies for it.
The Red Zone channel that has no commercials, shows you every score, flips to the best parts of every game. It might become your favorite channel other than whatever channel the Lions are on. So
athlete crack.
That's it is. People that have it, will swear by it. That's where they're at on their couch watching that channel the entire time. Well, unless they're, you know, their team is playing.
Well, you can, you know, and again, mostly listen, I enjoy hockey and I enjoy basketball. I'm a football and baseball guy. That's what I am. And so I enjoy those, and I make no apologies. It's my outlet. It's my stress relief. I happen to love football and baseball, and so I'm very much looking forward to that. Now it's of course especially once the weather turns cold and it's, you know, not conducive to be outdoors, then I have all the guilt goes away at that point. As soon as it's cold enough to where you really can't hang out outside, all the guilt of not doing stuff disappears. Because I guess it tugs at me a little bit. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about last night's baseball game. Although I didn't have a chance even to watch a minute of it, I certainly read about it this morning. Sounds like Justin Verlander didn't necessarily have all his stuff, but, you know, the mark of a good pitcher, the mark of a Hall of Fame pitcher is knowing how to win, figuring out how to win when you don't have your best stuff on a given day.
Well, yeah, and to stop a slide like that, they couldn't have gone 0-3 against the Indians. They couldn't have gotten swept. That would have been, you know, then they pull within one game of the division after being down four games, and already people were already saying, oh, the Indians are so strong. I mean, the first game could have gone either way. 14 innings, and the Tigers had, what, 7 different chances to score a run before the 14th inning came along. So that was a push. Ubaldo the second day against the Tigers B lineup, it was basically, you know, people will argue, but it was giving up to the Indians that night. And then last night you had Verlander going, so you needed that win. And like you said, he did enough to get the win.
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, I'm going to suggest he did more than enough, because he recognized, and again, I read the post-game interview, and, you know, basically what he said is, I really didn't have my stuff, so I had to concentrate a little more than I normally do. It wasn't a matter of, you know, having confidence. It was really just a matter of staying present and staying focused. And, you know, and again, I think that one of the marks of a great pitcher is knowing, you know, how to finesse your way through a situation. And it's interesting, Jeff, how, you know, you can throw the baseball the same way every time and not get the same result every time. And I would think that it takes some maturity and certainly, a lot of talent to figure out, okay, this isn't working the way it did the last time. How do I make it work? And I'll give him credit there.
Well, and then that's the thing about the Tigers pitchers. Scherzer still has a little bit to learn about that. And actually down in Toledo, Jacob Turner pitched last night, gave up 4 runs, 3-run shot. And he needs to learn that as well. At certain times, you know, you pitch to contact, and other times you rear back and try and get the strikeout. So it's been pretty cool to watch Verlander over the last couple of years. I remember, what was it, 3 seasons ago, he was averaging 25 pitches an inning, and it was just like he would never get out of the 5th inning, and people were questioning, is this a guy an ace? Is it time to give up on him? And you know, look where we've come since then.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I was reading this great little side article about Belo the other day. And he's got like 22, at this point, 22 scoreless innings, or he's gone through 22 batters in relief without giving up a hit. And his philosophy behind that was, you know, now that I know I'm pitching in relief, I go out there as if I'm starting the game and that every pitch has to be a strike. And he said it's about intensity for me. And he said it's working better than even I thought it would work. So
isn't that funny? Out of the four lefties that were young, he's had the most success, and he was actually an afterthought. It was really the top three lefties, and maybe he wasn't even four. Casey Crosby could have been considered the fourth young guy, but out of Wilk, out of Furbush, out of Oliver, Crosby, and then Belo, Belo's the one that stuck.
Well, I think that a lot of it is that underdog status, and it's the way you process being an underdog. And I mean, we could be talking politics. We could be talking workplace. It doesn't matter. When you're the underdog, if you process that properly and you turn that into a competitive thing, and I would think at some level, Jeff, you're that way. If you're put in a situation and you're considered the underdog, you're going to work harder than anybody. And it's not even to prove to others. You're going to prove to yourself that you can do it. And I think that there's some of that in him.
Yeah, definitely. It's been pretty cool. And, you know, like he said, or you were just saying about him, there's two different roles. You know, when you're a starter, you have to conserve your pitches and learn, you know, to not give it your all. When you're a reliever, you come in and you try and get those guys out, you know, any way you can. And if that means gassing it up for an inning or two, you know you're only going to be in the game for that long. So
yeah, well, anyway, it was a good night for baseball. Hopefully a good night for football, although it doesn't matter at the end of the day. It is a preseason after all. And an amazing day in politics, and we're going to get to it all now once we take this break. You've punched in. 888-552-3595 is the phone number. Of course, we're always open line, so feel free to join us. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is 1310 WDTW. Good morning. We'll be right back.
First Chip with Tony Truppiano.
I know this team is unpopular. We had just done nothing and not spent any more money, as Representative Bachman is arguing. We would have had 16 or 17% unemployment in this country. I mean, we would have had a financial meltdown.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
No accidents or delays out there on the freeways right now. Good morning. Things are really looking pretty good out there, actually. We do have some road construction, of course, though. North and southbound Pontiac Trail between M5 and Welch Road, that is currently closed and will remain that way until the end of October. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Things are looking fantastic for today. Sunny, a high near 82. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 66. And then tomorrow, well, not so nice. Mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-70s, and a 40% chance for a shower or a thunderstorm. Currently, it's fair and 65 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up right after this.
Hey, Detroit! Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal town hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
When the show is done, the party has just begun. Join the staff of First Shift and the cast of the Sexy Liberal Tour for an after party you will talk about for a long time to come. Immediately following the show, join Tony, Jeff, and Todd with Stephanie and her crew
Saturday, August 20th,
and nosh on some delicious goodies like beef brisket, jumbo shrimp, imported cheeses and olives, and grilled chicken. While rubbing elbows with some of the people you listen to every day, and in the process, help us as we will donate all the proceeds to Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts as we team with the Sexy Liberal Tour and their donation as well. For just $20 per person, you will end your evening with great food, great conversation, and what will sure to be some stories to tell. Send a check or money order to the Tony Truppiano Show at P.O. Box 1027, Dearborn Heights, Michigan 48127. You may pay at the door that evening, but you must RSVP in advance to Tony at thetonyshow.org by Friday, August 19th at noon.
Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Unions work.
One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
All of Michigan's top newsmakers talk to Tony Trupiano.
Joining us now is Debbie Stabenow.
Good morning, Tony. It's always great to be with you.
Former Michigan Congressman Mark Schauer.
It's great to be with you, Tony.
Cindy Estrada joins us.
Thank you for having me.
State Representative Harvey Santana. You're a rock star, Bert Bernero.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you so much. You're too kind, Tony.
And my good friend, Congressman Hanson Clark. Welcome to First Shift.
Tony, it's great being on your show.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Weekdays 6 to 9
on 1310 WDTW. The time has come. Stand and fight those who would deny your rights. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 6 o'clock. And again, like I said, we got a lot going on. Jeff, I don't want to go any further. And as I talked to you yesterday, I was asked to march in the upcoming Labor Day parade with UAW Local 174. And I was absolutely thrilled when I got the call yesterday. So I will be marching with them in the Labor Day parade. And then they have a cookout afterwards. They've asked me to speak and to stay for the barbecue, which, of course, I will do. And very excited about that. Very, very excited. I thought it was awesome for them to invite me. So looking forward to going out there. But as I went to look on their website, I came across a quote that I wanted to share with you, and it's posted right on their website. It is the same old story of the few having too much and the many not having enough. We want a hospital and medical plan. We want to remove the economic barriers which block good health to the average family in America. That is the challenge before us. We have all the tools in America to conquer human insecurity. It is a question of whether people who are going to use them or whether we are going to be blocked by the powers that be in Wall Street. That is an excerpt from Walter Reuther's address to the 12th UAW Constitutional Convention, Jeff, in the year 1949.
Wow.
Yeah. The more things change, the more they stay the same. Isn't that something? I saw that quote and I went, well, I got to print that off and read that on the show tomorrow. It was really, really something. Yeah, listen, we've got a lot of audio to get to, so I want to make sure that, because this is good stuff. And it's important that we have this discussion. The president was in Michigan yesterday. We're going to get to that in just a little bit. But Senator, was Joe Walsh a senator or is he a state rep? Or is he a rep? I thought he was a congressman. No, he's a congressman. All right. Congressman Joe Walsh, who Jeff loves. Jeff's in love with this guy because he's a deadbeat dad. He keeps on claiming that...
sounds bad. I'm not in love with him because he's a deadbeat dad. But
well, you've got to let me finish my sentence. I had your back.
All right.
You know, and it was tongue-in-cheek. I think this audience knows that. Anyway, Representative Joe Walsh is a deadbeat dad. And he loves to lecture President Obama. This is the infamous guy that likes to go on YouTube and, you know, and espouse his Tea Party philosophy. Anyway, he has more advice or more criticism of the president. And just listen to it, understanding what we know about this guy, that, again, he's over $100,000 behind in his child support. He obviously has no family values, and this is what he has to say.
Politico is reporting that the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee will target several House Republicans and blame them for the downgrade from S&P. Now, are you one of the House Republicans on the target list? Oh, gosh, I hope so, Bill. I don't know. I mean, this is just, it's just pathetic. I've never known of a president who refuses to accept any responsibility for anything. The president's like a teenage boy who had a big party and trashed his house while his parents were gone. And then he gets really upset when his parents come back home and make him clean up the mess.
All right, now the analogy, Jeff, what did you think of the analogy? It's like a teenage boy who gets upset because his parents ask him to clean up the party. Is that what really is going to happen?
See, it was funny because it's like, I think the analogy is pretty close, but he's just got the characters wrong. The teenage boy who created the mess is actually President Bush, and then instead of getting mad that he wants to get cleaned up, he's just the teenage boy who ran away.
Like, oh man,
he threw a party. There's this huge mess now, and then he ran away, and that now we're left to deal with it.
And of course, that would be the grand old party. Joe Walsh is so disconnected from reality. You know, do you think you're on that targeted list? Well, sure, Bill, I hope so.
Well, you know why he hopes so is because he loves a microphone. If he can't find one, then he sticks himself in front of YouTube and posts that. I mean, he's in love with himself.
Joe Walsh. Yeah, he absolutely loves himself some Joe Walsh. There's no question that's true. Again, the president's taking a lot of beating. You had sent me, although I had seen it the day before, The Onion had done this this mock thing about reelecting the president so they can continue to beat him up. President Obama is taking a beating from Republicans right now. The Republicans will not open up their mouths unless they can say something negative about President Obama. Senator Jim DeMint on the Janet Medford show had this to say.
It has been the most anti-business, and I consider anti-American administration of my lifetime, of things that are just so anathema to the principles of freedom. And everything he has come up with, it centralizes more power in Washington, creates more socialist-style collectivist policies. So this president is doing something that's so far out of the realm of anything Republicans ever did wrong, it's hard to even imagine.
You know, and again, Jim DeMint has a right to his opinion. What he doesn't seem to understand is he's given us no examples. He's thrown a lot of mud, but, you know, tell us what he's done that's anti-American. I mean, there are no examples. There's no substance to his statement. And so I find it a bit confusing that he would just throw it out there. And now, again, this is a kind of like the Fox News talking point thing. Maybe Fox News is media training these guys, and I wouldn't be surprised if that indeed were a reality. But go ahead and criticize the president, but be specific about it. Every time I criticized George Bush, I was very specific about what I was criticizing so that it left, question unanswered. This big brush, thing, he's just a socialist and he's anti-American and he's just for, big taxes. It's getting old, and I don't think the American people are, and I don't think it's really resonating with the American people. Now, as I shared with you, President Obama was in Michigan yesterday, and after the break, we'll listen to some of the audio from his comments in Kalamazoo, which, Jeff, I was a little surprised were a little more political than I thought they would be, being that he was there, of course, at the Johnson Controls factory in Holland, to tout advanced batteries and, green jobs and, jobs of the future. I was surprised the speech got as political as it got.
Especially over there. I mean, I went to school over there. It's more Republican than it is progressive. So
actually, they consider Holland to be the most conservative city in the state of Michigan. Did you know that?
I definitely experienced it. I'll tell you that much. It was
everybody in bed by 10 o'clock. Is that it?
Sundays are all completely. It's a dry county, so it's completely. The bar opened at midnight on Sunday night because it was actually Monday morning, and it stayed open for just those 2 hours Monday morning, just because they couldn't do anything on Sundays. But there's a lot of examples of crazy stuff like that. But even more so, it was just weird because, I grew up, obviously, in a UAW household. And, you'd be sitting in class and they'd just be railing on unions. And, I'm thinking the only reason why I'm here is because of a union. So it's interesting. That was my Holland experience.
Yeah, well, again, I was surprised the president's remarks were as political. We'll find out how political they were after we take this break. And, of course, we welcome your calls. Also coming up, more announcements, but more interestingly, the presidential debate in Ames, Iowa last night, the 30 minutes I saw were very entertaining. And so we'll get to that in just a few moments. Feel free to join us if you've got something to add to the conversation at 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. This total traffic update brought to you by McDonald's. Things looking fantastic in the roadways right now. No reports of any accidents or slowdowns at this point. Let's hope it stays that way. Of course, the South of Prairie north and southbound between Grand River and the Lodge, that is currently closed. I'm Russ with traffic.
The weather is hot, but McDonald's is still here to quench your thirst with our $1 any size soft drinks or sweet tea. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service, a beautiful start to your weekend. Today, sunny, a high near 82. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 66. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a high in the mid-70s. Maybe a chance for a shower and thunderstorm in there as well. Currently, it's barren, 65 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift with Tony Trupiano coming up right after this.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. CWA President Larry Cohen says 45,000 striking CWA and IBEW workers at Verizon are fighting for the middle class against $1 billion in concessions demanded by the highly profitable company. Cohen says Verizon's justification that its wired business is in decline is no excuse for the effort to squeeze money from the workers.
These are the workers that build the backbone of the entire company, wireless and wireline. They've had union busting at Verizon Wireless for 15 years, fired thousands of workers, closed centers to avoid unionization on the wireless side. So that rings hollow.
The American Dream movement is busy this summer telling Congress what Americans really want when it comes to government spending and the economy. There's a contract for the American Dream that lays out a progressive alternative to austerity policies. Natalie Foster, CEO and co-founder of Rebuild the Dream, says the American Dream movement has a clear message for Congress.
For months, the debate in Washington has been focused on cutting programs that people depend on rather than creating jobs and making millionaires pay their fair share. We have a very simple message for Washington, and that is that America is not broke. Americans don't want Congress to gut vital programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, but Americans do want jobs, and they want an economy that builds a strong middle class and a future that they can believe in.
Dozens of organizations, including labor unions, the Sierra Club, MoveOn.org, and many others, are partners in the American Dream movement. Foster says 130,000 people wrote the contract for the American Dream online, submitting 20,000 ideas.
And then offline, in every congressional district in the country, there were House meetings that happened where people came together and deliberated the things that had sort of risen to the top online. And from that came the contract for the American Dream, a progressive economic vision for this country.
The democracy addicts are among those reminding Wisconsin Republicans that we're still here. Jesse Russell reports.
The Democracy Addicts are a new organization in Wisconsin that was born out of the protests in February. Sharing their mutual frustration on Twitter, they decided to meet in person over beer. Since then, the movement has expanded to six cities and includes more than 200 everyday citizens, many of whom have never been politically involved before. Last month, the Democracy Addicts started the We're Still Here project, intended to remind Republicans in the Capitol that they aren't going away and to let others know they don't need to stop fighting. You can view the videos at the Democracy Addicts website, DEMAA.org. The following is a snippet from the video by founding member Jenny Dye.
We're still going to keep fighting for the values that we believe in, for what we believe Wisconsin deserves, and for what we want for ourselves and our neighbors. 150 days or so later, we're still here. We're still fighting, and we're asking you to join us.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Call Tony and tell him what's on your mind. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
See, it didn't happen because we don't have the capacity to pay our bills. It happened because Washington doesn't have the capacity to come together and get things done. It was a self-inflicted wound. That's why people are frustrated. Maybe you heard my voice. That's why I'm frustrated. Because you deserve better. You guys deserve better.
Yeah, and President Barack Obama at the Johnson Controls plant in Holland, Michigan yesterday. He also went on to say that we can control how Washington affects our economy, and this is what he had to say.
And even though the economy has started growing again since the recession started in 2007, the fact is it's not growing fast enough. Now, some of what we're facing today has to do with events beyond our control. As the economy was improving and improving through 2009, 2010, the beginning of this year, suddenly it was hit with the unrest in the Middle East that helped send gas prices through the roof. Europe is dealing with all sorts of financial turmoil that is lapping up on our shores. Japan's tragic earthquake hurt economies around the globe, including ours, cut off some supply chains that were very important to us. And all of this has further challenged our economy. And as we've seen, it's playing out in the stock market. Wild swings, up and down. And it makes folks nervous. And it affects the savings of families all across America. Now, challenges like these, earthquakes, revolutions, those are things we can't control. But what we can control is our response to these challenges. What we can control is what happens in Washington.
And indeed, that is true. We can control all of that. Will Congress allow it? Yesterday, Congresswoman from Illinois, Jan Schakowsky, has introduced a jobs bill that would create 2.3 million jobs, would reduce unemployment by 1.3%, would cost a little over $253 billion to fund, which would all be funded by closing some loopholes and adding just a little bit of tax to those making more than $250,000 a year. What are the odds it'll move forward? And I thought so. We talked about this yesterday and a little bit the day before. We are in a position now, Democrats, to ask this Congress to provide a jobs stimulus. They have, of course, the challenge of voting on it. They vote no, they're voting no to jobs. They vote yes, they're voting yes for jobs. I don't know how this question gets any easier for this president and for the Democrats. It's time to be a little bit more aggressive. We'll see what happens. We will see what happens. Let me kind of just... We're watching what's going on in England. And I know that... in the UK, and it's been very difficult to watch because I am such an abhorrent, I abhor looting. I abhor it. I do not believe in the Robin Hood mentality of taking from anybody illegally and giving it to anybody illegally. Just can't handle it. It really irritates me in ways that I can't begin to tell you. But the movement between the have and have nots in the UK became very violent. Now, I am a big supporter of peaceful protest. What Martin Luther King did should be the shining example of how to affect change in our communities. In fact, I posted to the Facebook page yesterday, the First Shift Facebook page, an article that was in Op-Ed News, the 14 cities most likely to riot. Jeff, did you happen to look at that article?
No, I did not.
Number one on the list was? Take a guess.
Most likely to riot?
Yeah, most likely to riot.
In the world, huh?
In the country.
In the country, huh?
It shouldn't be that hard for you.
I don't know. New York.
Oh, come on. Detroit.
That's ridiculous, though.
How is it ridiculous?
Because we just get this, we have this mentality.
No. Most likely to riot for reasons, Jeff, not because, just because we're Detroit.
Yeah, but that's part of it. I think that's part of it.
I take it very, I guess maybe I'm thinking about it more intellectually. We have unemployment rate within the city of Detroit is close to 25%. You have clear disparity between the haves and have-nots. You have a city that is shrinking and constantly under attack. you have an ongoing budget deficit. You have a quote-unquote Democrat Detroit mayor who continues to eat away at the union base in the city. And you are creating, in my opinion, a pressure cooker. So I don't think it's that far, you know, that far outside the realm of possibility. I don't think it's because it's Detroit. I think it's because the conditions are favorable. Is all I'm saying.
No, I agree that the conditions are very similar, but I just have a problem. I mean, immediately when people connect Riot and Detroit together, that's the problem I have.
Well, you know, it's not that I like it. Some of the other cities, very quickly. Detroit was number one. Miami, Florida. Cleveland, Ohio. Memphis, Tennessee. New Orleans. Buffalo, New York. Milwaukee, Wisconsin. St. Louis, Missouri. Baltimore, Maryland. Atlanta, Georgia. Cincinnati, Ohio. Long Beach, California. Newark, New Jersey. And Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Those were the cities that are most ready to riot, according to this article by Chaz Valenza. So, you and I had this conversation, didn't we, yesterday? And, you know, we asked the question, what is the likelihood something like that could happen in this country? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question. I just don't. I don't. I have no idea what it would take.
I think most people's immediate reaction, though, is that won't happen here. And I think, I mean, that was the UK's response, too, is like, we're surprised by this. Wow, we never thought that anything like this could boil over to this point.
Well, you know, Rush Limbaugh, God bless him, seized this opportunity, as you know, Jeff, to equate what's happening in the UK to, well, kind of what's happening here, so why don't you go ahead and play that?
The closest we have to this in this country is a government union worker. If they don't get what they think is theirs, guess what do? What are they prone to do these days? Raise hell, riot, threaten. But in the case of the UK, these are really, he describes these people as feral humans.
Feral humans. Jeff, I have to ask you a question because maybe I don't understand something. He says, you know, what are they most prone to do? Government union workers. I'm sorry, am I missing something? Did we have a riot amongst government union workers that I missed? Because if I did, I'm really sorry.
Yeah, I missed it as well.
Okay, so it wasn't just me. All right, okay. Where the hell does he come up with this stuff? What are they most prone to do? Riot, yeah, because it's happening everywhere. We're going to go to the phone. This is just crazy. 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. Let's welcome Mike and Westland to First Shift. Mike, thanks for punching in this morning. What's on your mind?
I would like to know, Tony, when they say Detroit is most likely to riot, I question, Detroit has been under Democratic leadership for my entire lifetime. And then why haven't
only you, only you. Go ahead, Mike.
You know, they've been since, well, I didn't hear you, Tony.
Nothing, go ahead. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, what'd you say? I missed it. I'm on a car phone.
No, it's okay. Just finish your comment, please.
Well, I will, but I just would like to, if it was something comical, I'd share in the joke. But anyways, it's been, back to Kavanaugh and Coleman Young, and I don't understand how come with this amount of time that the Democrats have been in control of Detroit, that they haven't been able to create a democratic utopia. Well, is it strictly because of racism from people like myself in Westland, or what?
Well, I think that certainly that's part of it. You know, white flight, Mike, didn't help when you got people that are banning a city. Now, listen, I understand that after the 67 riots, it's not like people were sitting around going, you know, obviously, real estate's going to get cheaper. Why don't we just hang out here for a while? Okay, I get that that didn't happen. I get that a lot of people, Mike, you asked me a question. I'm answering the question. A lot of people
chill out.
All right, you got to let him go now because he's trying to tell me what to do again. Oh, anyway, sweet God. Yes, certainly people turn their back on the city of Detroit. Some people still have turned their back on the city of Detroit. We see the Carmonos family. We see Dan Gilbert and others, the Illich family, doing their best to rebuild the business part of that. We see Mayor Bing with a half-assed plan to build in certain areas and to rebuild some infrastructure and to make it more user-friendly. And when we talk to Jeanette Pierce later on this morning, we'll talk about the residential parts of the city and how that is coming along. But this has absolutely nothing to do with politics. So why, and what I was laughing at, Mike, and so because you're not going to find it funny, is you tried to turn this into a partisan conversation about Democrats, and it's not about that at all. God bless you, man. I try with him. I really do. You know, last night, Jeff, when I was at the Livonia Democratic Club meeting, people actually said to me, you know, how the heck can you sit there and let these people call and say what they say? I mean, doesn't it just drive you absolutely insane? I mean, don't you want to scream and yell? Well, sometimes I do, of course. But why, you know, why is it that the people like Mike got to call and act like I'm trying to pick a fight or I want to pick a fight with them? And that's not what I, why can't we just have a civil dialogue?
It just sounded like he wanted to say that the Democrat control of Detroit was the reason why, you know, that... there that this is happening, or the why they're ranked as the number one rioting
all right, so then
possible
the,
city.
So then the other side of that is if there were Republicans running the city, everything would be great, right? Is that what he's trying to say, I guess?
I guess. All the cities you named on that list must all be democratically controlled.
I'm sure they are. God forbid. All right, when we come back, the great debate in Ames, Iowa last night. If you watched it, well, it actually happens to also be our poll question today. We'll get to that on the other side. The 30 minutes I watched was quite entertaining, so we'll come back and talk about the great debate and Mitt's bad day in Iowa, and he did have a bad day. I'm Tony Trupiano. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
So many of those who have made so much money recently produce very little wealth for others. They essentially pocket the money.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses and it only takes a few minutes and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button right now and register. Thank you. Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with Geico along with their car. Geico's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
Find your magic at Macy's Super Saturday Sale with all-day special Saturday. Jeffrey Bean and Kenneth Cole Reaction dress shirts and ties, 50% off. Take 65% off all 14-karat gold earrings. Save on Junior Screen Tees, now two for $24. And all nine-piece bed ensembles are $99.99. All-day special Saturday at Macy's Super Saturday Sale. Savings off regular sale and clearance prices. Exclusions apply. See store for details.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Brought to you by your neighborhood Ace Hardware. It's time to get your weekend back. Stop by your neighborhood Ace Hardware today and get everything you need to turn your to-do list into a to-done list. Ace. The helpful place.
Don't adjust your radio. This transmission is meant for you.
It's First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. I am Tony Trupiano. I want to welcome you back to First Shift, and thanks for punching in this morning. Fox News and the Washington Examiner online newspaper sponsored the Ames, Iowa debate last night, and it was entertaining, the 30 minutes that I happened to watch. Lots of exchanges, and I want to start with a little bit of sound from last night, and Michelle Bachmann, and who is a representative from a congresswoman from Minnesota, and Tim Pawlenty, who is the former governor of Minnesota, two people that know each other, two Republicans, two people that obviously have worked together in the past, and I would think at some level have been on the same side of many, many issues. Well, you have to wonder, after listening to this exchange, how they feel about each other this morning.
Congresswoman Bachmann, I'm going to ask you in a moment your own question about Governor Pawlenty, but I want to give you an opportunity to respond to his comments. You have 30 seconds. One, that you have no record of accomplishments in Congress, and two, that there's something missing in your resume because you do not have executive experience.
Well, thank you for asking the question. I would say, Governor, when you were governor in Minnesota, you implemented cap and trade in our state, and you praised the unconstitutional individual mandate, and you called for requiring all people in our state to purchase health insurance that government would mandate. Third, you said the era of small government was over. That sounds a lot more like Barack Obama, if you ask me. During my time in the United States Congress, I have fought all of these unconstitutional measures, as well as Barack Obama, and I led against increasing the debt ceiling the last 2 months.
I just wanted to pick up, and in fact, you anticipated the question I was going to ask you, and then I'm going to give you a chance to respond, Governor. Congresswoman Bachmann, isn't that about the worst thing you can say about a fellow Republican in this campaign, that he reminds you of Barack Obama?
The policies that the governor advocated for were cap and trade. He praised and wanted to require Minnesotans to purchase the unconstitutional individual mandate in health care, and he said the era of small government is over. I have a very consistent record of fighting very hard against Barack Obama and his unconstitutional measures in Congress. I'm very proud of that record. That is what qualifies me as a fighter and representative of the people to go to Washington, D.C., into the White House. People are looking for a champion. They want someone who's been fighting. When it came to health care, I brought tens of thousands of Americans to Washington to fight the unconstitutional individual mandate. I didn't praise it. When it came to cap and trade, I fought it with everything that was in me, including I introduced the Light Bulb Freedom of Choice Act so people could all purchase the light bulb of their choice. I also believe that big government is hurting the United States. We need to have small government.
I'm sure you've been waiting for the opportunity, Governor Pawlenty. 30 seconds to respond.
I'm really surprised that Congresswoman Bachmann would say those things. That's not the kinds of things she said when I was governor of the state of Minnesota. And moreover, she's got a record of misstating and making false statements, and that's another example of that list. She says that she's fighting for these things. She fought for less government spending. We got a lot more. She led the effort against Obamacare. We got Obamacare. She led the effort against TARP. We got TARP. She said she's got a titanium spine. It's not her spine we're worried about. It's her record of results. If that's your view of effective leadership with results, please stop, because you're killing us.
All right. Wait. Congressman Bachmann, 30 seconds to respond.
Thank you so much. I was at the tip of the spear fighting against the implementation of Obamacare in the United States Congress. Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and Barack Obama ran Congress, but I gave them a run for their money. Again, on cap and trade, I was there from the very beginning giving Speaker Pelosi a run for her money. That's why I was Speaker Pelosi about her number one target to defeat last year, because I was effectively taking them on nearly every argument they put forward. I fought. When others ran, I fought, and I led against increasing the debt ceiling.
And there you go. I happened to see that, and I enjoyed it a great deal. Of course, she's defending a record of unaccomplishment, because she's accomplished nothing, and Governor Pawlenty certainly was absolutely correct in his assertion of what she's done.
I like that. Oh, her answer was the same three times in a row.
Well, and again, I led on the debt ceiling debate. I led on that debate, Jeff. I led on that.
She threw that in at the end as well. Yeah, I mean, obviously you heard that.
Every answer she gave that I saw was, and I led on the debt ceiling debate. I led on that, Jeff. I led.
She had the crowd, though. You could tell the response.
She's from Iowa. She's a hometown girl. You know, she was born there. I don't know that she was raised there, but I know she was born there. She spent, of course, she's not doing much work in Congress these days. She's in Iowa full time. And for a straw poll, for God forbid, of all things. But, I thought that the Governor Plenty's rebuttal and statements on her were far more effective than her rebuttal. Your thoughts quickly, because I want to get into that other piece as well.
Yeah, I mean, he sounded a little more polished, but you know, she's got the spirit of John Wayne Gacy on her side.
So. Yeah, there you go. I kept on forgetting that serial killer mentality just is coursing through her system. Michelle Bachmann, when asked about submitting to her husband, her thoughts?
In 2006, when you were running for Congress, you described a moment in your life when your husband said you should study for a degree in tax law. You said you hated the idea. And then you explained, quote, "But the Lord said, be submissive. Wives, you are to be submissive to your husbands." As president, would you be submissive to your husband?
Question, Byron. Marcus and I will be married for 33 years this September 10th. I'm in love with him. I'm so proud of him. And both he and I, what submission means to us, if that's what your question is, it means respect. I respect my husband. He's a wonderful, godly man and a great father. And he respects me as his wife. That's how we operate our marriage. We respect each other. We love each other. And I've been so grateful that we've been able to build a home together. We have 5 wonderful children and 23 foster children. We built a business together and a life together. And I'm very proud of him.
Okay, so now, Jeff, we know that submission means respect. Had I have known that all these years, well, I think I would have lived my life a lot differently.
Don't you feel bad for the foster kids? She's like, I got 5 wonderful kids and then 23 foster kids, I guess.
Yeah, what about that? That I guess I didn't immediately see that. But anyway, we'll certainly have plenty of time to pick this apart in the next hour. We've got Jeanette Pierce coming up in the next hour. She is the founder of Inside Detroit. We'll tell you what that's all about. Of course, we can look forward to Joe DeSano a little bit later on. And then Mitt Romney did have an awful day in Ames yesterday. But it was interesting, and I have to tell you, from where I'm sitting, I thought he handled himself pretty well, with one major exception. And it's a biggie. It's a real biggie. And wait till you hear what he had to say about corporations, if you haven't already. All right, we're going to break for the top of the hour. Russ is coming up with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. Jeff, Todd, and I have got a lot to bring to you as we work our way through this Friday morning. Thank you for punching in with us. We'll take a quick break and be back right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking pretty good out there on the freeways. We are accident and slid on free at this point. It might change a little bit later on, but then again, traffic is always a little bit less on Friday mornings. Crooks Road, north and southbound, between 14 Mile and Maple. Major road construction going on there. Also north and southbound near M59. That's down to just one lane. I'm Ross with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service. Today, sunny, a high near 82 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-60s. And then tomorrow, some clouds move in, mostly cloudy. A chance of a shower, a thunderstorm in there, too. High near 76. Currently, it's barren, 65 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift with Tony Trupiano coming up after the top of the hour.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift with Tony Trupiano, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now, time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio. I'm Andy Rose. The Republican presidential debate on Fox News last night turned into a bit of a Minnesota civil war. Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann and former Governor Tim Pawlenty spent much of their time attacking each other.
Well, it kind of boiled over last night at this debate between those two candidates, and it was definitely pretty contentious. Bachmann criticizing Pawlenty when he was governor of Minnesota, almost at one time comparing him to Barack Obama, and Pawlenty basically questioning her credentials and what she's done.
That's CNN's Paul Steinhauser in Ames, Iowa. Texas Governor Rick Perry will be in Iowa tomorrow. He'll officially announce his own candidacy for president. He says he'll be focusing his campaign on jobs created in his home state. They talked about stopping Saturday delivery and closing post offices. Now the Postal Service wants to take the axe to its workforce. Here's CNN's Matt Cherry.
The Postal Service is looking to lay off 120,000 workers. Documents obtained by CNN Money show it's appealing to Congress to remove collective bargaining restrictions to make that possible. The agency stands to lose almost $9 billion this year, part of the reason a rapid decline in mail volume in recent years.
For the fourth day in a row, the Dow moved by more than 400 points on Thursday. Fortunately, we were on the plus side this time. CNN's Richard Quest says it's totally unpredictable.
It's really not a market for the amateur. Absolutely not. This is not even a market for the professional, because too many people have got no idea, frankly, of which way or what is moving the market.
The market got some help yesterday by good financial reports from Cisco and News Corp. Unemployment claims went down last week, but most Americans are not very excited about the job market. A new CNN ORC poll shows that only 29% of people think there will be more jobs available close to them a year from now. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Now at the Home Depot, save $50 to $750 on top brand appliances. The bigger the ticket, the higher the savings. Add that to free delivery and haul away, and you've got the perfect opportunity to retire that tired old fridge. Replace that energy-wasting washer or kick out that uninspired oven with appliances that look great in your home and on your budget. All thanks to savings of up to $750. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Valid through August 24th, U.S. only. See store for details.
I'm Charles Osgood. To all the loyal customers out there who have rated us highest in customer satisfaction for auto insurance claims experience, we thank you, and thank you. Auto Owners Insurance, ranked highest in customer satisfaction 3 years in a row by J.D. Power and Associates. For award information, visit jdpower.com. Auto Owners Insurance. Promises made, promises kept. To find the independent insurance agent nearest you, visit autoowners.com. That's autoowners.com.
As Europe takes steps to try to calm down its wildly gyrating markets, there is a suggestion the U.S. markets may not gyrate quite on the level of what we've seen this week. Stock futures have moved both into the red and the black this early morning, but with far from the level of volatility to which Wall Street quickly has become accustomed. S&P futures right now losing 2 points, NASDAQ futures gaining 2, Dow futures right now up 11 points, as European markets rally as much as 2% in trades now. The Securities and Exchange Commission is making inquiries of Standard & Poor's specifically to reveal who within the ratings agency knew about its downgrade of U.S. credit before it happened. It's part of a preliminary look into potential insider trading at S&P, all this according to the Financial Times. This, as the Senate Banking Committee also says, it's probing S&P's downgrade decision. It's game on at Google Plus as it tries to out-Facebook Facebook. Social network has added games, 16 of them, including a couple of the biggest, Angry Birds and Zynga Poker. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? Our region's cash core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, you're a... What are you?
I'm a senior master technician, Mike.
Can the Works Fuel Saver package save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, it does. By making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Save money on gas with the Works Fuel Saver package. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you right now for the Works Fuel Saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 8/31/11. Claim based on ETA averages.
The majority of Americans live within 5 miles of a Radio Shack, which means you're close to being able to trade and save. Bring in your eligible electronics, like a phone or a computer, and get instant savings on new electronics. Can you trade in an old phone? Yes! A pair of corduroy pants? No! But an MP3 player? Yes! Right now, trade in any eligible working laptop and get $50 or more toward a new tablet, $399 and up. Trade and save at Radio Shack.
Offer good at participating stores through 8/14/11. Trade-in product condition and other restrictions apply. All trade-ins final. Not available work group.
Become informed. Learn the truth. Stand and be recognized.
I am not going to sit on my ass as the events that affect me unfold to determine the course of my life. I'm going to take a stand. I'm going to defend it. I'm going to defend it.
You are tuned in to WDTW, 1310 AM. And it's time to get to work on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome, everybody. Tony Trupiano back with you. Hour two of this Friday First Shift program, and a pleasure to be with you. You know, we did, in the last hour, I didn't get a chance to throw out the First Shift poll question of the morning, which is, who do you believe won the debate last night? I love my liberal audience because... you've all either picked President Obama, who wasn't even a part of it. I just kind of threw that in as a joke. But you've added, give me some time to think it over, and who cares? And that's it. So none of you are, you know, none of you are weighing in on who might have actually won that debate. And you're right. At some level, who does care? You should care, by the way. And I'm going to ask you folks to pay attention to what the Republicans are doing. Do not think that this is some kind of joke. Okay, the political season is in full force. You need to pay attention to what the Republicans are saying. I know I do, and do you know why I do? Because I have to be able to counter that. And you do too. And I need you guys to help me. I can't do this all on my own, so I need you folks to help me. Good. All right. I'm really kind of excited about this next guest for a lot of reasons. You know, we had said in the last hour... and I'd mentioned that article that was in Op-Ed News yesterday, you know, of the 14 cities that are most likely or most ready to riot or most able to riot. Detroit was number one on that list. Now, you know, again, this isn't about, are we ready to riot? Are we on the brink of rioting? Because we're not. But, you know, in relation to what's happening in the United Kingdom, the haves and have-nots, the list reflects... you know, what might be the sentiment of that author who is an MBA. This is not just some guy writing an op-ed piece. He's an educated man. Now, we disagree with him. I and Jeff disagreed with me a little bit on this. Jeff thought that, you know, this was just an easy way. You know, it's Detroit. Of course they're going to riot. And I didn't see it quite that way. I looked at it more from an intellectual standpoint. Not that I disagree with what Jeff had to say, because a lot of people just think Detroit, of course, murder, you know, death, decay. My next guest says, you don't know Detroit the way you think you know Detroit. Jeff, if you would, let's warm it up a little bit with a little intro music here. Sammy Davis. I love this song. For those of you that have not heard this before, just listen to a little bit.
From whatever gets you down. And there's so many, many reasons. Any time, any season is the right time to be with you. Hello, Detroit.
There we go. Joining us from Inside Detroit, the founder of Inside Detroit, Jeanette Pierce. And Jeanette, good morning from the glorious city, and hello, Detroit, to you. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Tony. That song just, like, perks me right up no matter what time it is in the morning.
Have you heard that song before? I love it.
I listen to that song anytime I come back into the city. When I'm gone on a trip or exploring other places, that song is my love song to the city of Detroit.
Yeah, it's a great tune. Most people, of course, aren't familiar with it. We'll play a little bit more of it before we let you go this morning. By the way, I had Stephen Henderson on the show on Wednesday from the Detroit Free Press, and I think he's got a little crush on you, Jeanette.
Stephen's a great guy. I just saw him at an event we're both at for the Asian American Journalists Association, and you know, we do a lot of stuff, run into each other a lot, and there's a lot of love in the city for people who really love and understand the city like Stephen does.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about what Inside Detroit is.
Yeah, Inside Detroit is a 501c3 nonprofit that my friend and I started about 5.5 years ago, and our mission is to promote the city by educating people about it, in a nutshell at least. So we do everything from history and architecture tours to bar and restaurant tours and everything in between, from community groups to whatever you're looking for or not looking for even to know about Detroit. We show it to you, but we do it from an insider's perspective.
Yeah, an insider's perspective indeed. And you know, it's interesting. You came to me, of course, you know this because I talked to you. I was up in Port Huron speaking to the St. Clair County Democratic Club, and I met your mother, who is, I think, your publicist. I'm not sure if she's just your mom. But, you know, she made it very clear to me that I needed to reach out to you. I don't think she gave me a choice, to be honest, but that's okay. You know, I love when moms are that passionate. You know, she's as much of an advocate for the city as you are. And so, you know, tell us a little bit about your story, because you are a native Detroiter and you're one of those people that decided to come back.
Well, actually, just to clarify, it's because of my mother and my father who made a conscious decision to stay in the city in 1979. They had an option to move. They were looking for a new house that was a little bit larger to fit their growing family, and like many people could have moved out of the city. They made a conscious effort to stay in the city because when a lot of people were saying, I'm not sure I want to raise my kids in Detroit anymore, my parents were saying, well, I'm not so sure I want to raise them in Grosse Pointe or some other place. They chose diversity. They chose culture. They chose being part of that community. I spent every election day handing out literature at the polls. And my mother only left the city needing to downsize the house that she had raised five children in. So born and raised in the city of Detroit my entire life, and it really, really taught me a lot about community, about being part of social justice issues, and then that's where Inside Detroit came from, because there was a gap, there was a hole, and that's where nonprofits in general come from when they're and the private sector and the public sector aren't meeting something that the community needs, the nonprofit sector can rise up and fill that gap.
Well, you know, Jeanette, that's what I find kind of interesting about this, because as we look at, let's call it the marketing arm of the city, I mean, you know, cities have downtown development authorities and cities have business associations, they have chambers of commerce, you know, whatever it is that act in that way, the city of Detroit doesn't seem, I mean, you seem to be that arm of the city. Is that a correct way for me to frame that?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The city of Detroit itself, they have lots of great development arms, but not in a specific, like, let's promote this city. One of the things that we talk about a lot is regionalism, which is an important, not just a warm, fuzzy, oh, wouldn't it be great if we all work together kind of mentality, but really an economic imperative. In the Detroit region or the Tri-County area, we actually have 131 different municipalities. Half of them are under 10 square miles, and they're under no obligation to work together at all. we don't, you know, so you have the three counties, all these cities. And so sometimes Detroit itself gets lost in that mix. So we have the fabulous Metro Convention and Visitors Bureau, which is about bringing conventions here and really and spreading the word, but on a regional basis. And nobody was telling the story of what's happening in Detroit, inside Detroit. What's it like to live here, be here, work here, play here? And that's where you really fall in love with the city, where you get on the street level and know your neighbors and know the community businesses, and you just can't help but fall in love with it, the more you know the people here, which is our greatest asset.
And let me ask you, as you do tours, I'm going to focus on that. Let's talk a little bit about the tours. First of all, if I wanted to take a tour, is this something that I have to RSVP for? Can I just walk in and say I want a tour? How does that work, Jeanette?
Yeah, we have publicly scheduled tours every weekend. And we do literally every kind of tour you can imagine. We do walking tours, bus tours, Segway tours. That's been a really big popular one.
What's a Segway tour?
Segway tours? You know, the two-wheel, like, I hate to say this, but mall cop, right? You know, but Segway tours are a great way to...
Oh, okay, Segway. I got it, you know.
Yeah. So you get, it's kind of a mix in between a bus and a walking tour in that you can cover a lot of distance, but you still stay up close and personal. So buses are, we have a community bus tour where we go into the neighborhoods, talk about everything, get history, but like how did we get here, right? And then what's happening now, and more importantly, where are we going in the future? And so we have every Saturday, 11 a.m., public bus tours that go into different neighborhoods. We have three Segway tours every weekend. We have walking tours that talk about everything from history and architecture to the cool places to go for entertainment and new development, places to live. But most of what we do actually are private tours. Your church group, your delegation, Democratic delegation, you know, whatever group you belong to, or corporation, universities, trying to reverse the brain drain and get people to realize that Chicago, New York, Portland are not only your only options. Detroit is actually a vibrant city that people are coming back to because they can make a difference here. You can be part of something that is really exciting and really creating kind of the 21st century city.
You know, I'm curious, how many Metro Detroiters take the tour? We're not talking just out-of-town people, right? A lot of them, I would think the bulkier your tour participants would be Metro Detroiters.
Well, actually, that's our focus because we kind of have to focus, right? I mean, when people ask us who our target audience is, the answer is people that don't know enough about Detroit.
All right, that would be a lot of people.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Right?
Jeanette Parrish, hold that thought. We got to take the break. We'll come back to you. InsideDetroit.com is the website, InsideDetroit.com. So go and check that out. We got a lot more to get to with Jeanette Parrish, so stay with us. If you have any questions or comments, give us a call, 888-552-3595. I am Tony Truppiano. We'll be right back after we do this on 1310 WDTW.
Got a question or comment?
Call now. 888-552-3595.
First Chip with Tony Triano
on 1310
WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Looking at a perfect drive out there this morning. Things are moving right along. You'll see some heavier volume 75 southbound as you get close to I-696, but really not enough to give you a delay. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast for the National Weather Service today, fantastic. Sunny, a high near 82. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-60s, and then tomorrow, some clouds roll in, a chance for a shower, a thunderstorm in there too, a high in the mid-70s. Currently it's fair and 63 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift with Tony Truppiano coming up after this.
I'm making burgers, honey. Do you want one or two? Why are you looking at me like that? Oh, I mean, would you like to double down?
I'm in.
Yeah, he still feels it. He's been to MGM Grand Detroit with more than 4,000 of the best slots, over 90 table games, and so much more. It's hard to shake the feeling.
And we have a winner. Here are your chips.
Thanks.
It's time to play at MGM Grand Detroit.
Hey, Detroit. Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal Town Hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see you, Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
When the show is done, the party has just begun. Join the staff of First Shift and the cast of the Sexy Liberal Tour for an after party you will talk about for a long time to come. Immediately following the show, join Tony, Jeff, and Todd with Stephanie and her crew
Saturday, August 20th,
and nosh on some delicious goodies like beef brisket, jumbo shrimp, imported cheeses and olives, and grilled chicken. While rubbing elbows with some of the people you listen to every day, and in the process, help us as we will donate all the proceeds to Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts as we team with the Sexy Liberal Tour and their donation as well. For just $20 per person, you will end your evening with great food, great conversation, and what will sure to be some stories to tell. Send a check or money order to the Tony Truppiano Show at P.O. Box 1027, Dearborn Heights, Michigan 48127. You may pay at the door that evening, but you must RSVP in advance to Tony at thetonyshow.org by Friday, August 19th at noon.
Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Trade and save at Radio Shack. Trade in any eligible working laptop and get $50 or more toward a new tablet, $399 and up. Offer good at participating stores through 8/14/2011. Trade in product condition and other restrictions apply. All trade-ins final. Not available where prohibited by law.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Motorcyclists often seem rather intimidating. Rough and tumble. Real bad mamma jammers. Little do folks know, they can actually be quite sensible. Especially if they insure their motorcycle with Geico along with their car. Geico's multi-policy discount could save them quite a bit of money. Did I just say bad mamma jammers? Do you ever say something and think, I wish I'd never said that? This is one of them times.
Call Geico or visit geico.com today to see how much our multi-policy discount could save you.
My favorite way to wake up in the morning is with Tony Truppiano and First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now here's Tony.
Hello, Detroit. You've won my heart. You're
And welcome back. Sammy Davis Jr. singing Hello Detroit. Jeanette Pierce, my guest. By the way, that website is insidedetroit.org. Not .com, .org. We've got it up on the Facebook page now. So if you go to the First Shift Facebook page, we've got a link to it. Jeanette, welcome back.
Hi, Tony.
Hello, Detroit. I love
it. Isn't it an amazing song?
It's a groovy tune. It's so catchy. I mean, I've loved that song. It's been around 20 years or more.
Yeah, more. Definitely more.
You know, when was the Renaissance Center built?
The Renaissance Center was completed in 1977 at $350 million. It was the largest privately financed project in U.S. history at the time, commissioned by Henry Ford II.
You know, I knew if I asked you that question, you would have the answer. In fact, if you go to InsideDetroit.org, they've got this great Why Detroit. Click on the Why Detroit page because there's just really some very cool information that most of us just don't know. They just don't know. So, Jeanette, why Inside Detroit? Why did you decide to make this your career?
Well, really, I was lucky to be able to do this because I took what I'd love to do and I made it a job. Born and raised in Detroit, as we covered, but I thought I knew Detroit. And then I moved downtown 8 years ago. I was blown away by the different side of Detroit I saw by walking everywhere. So I was like, what's that building? I was seeing details. I was seeing things that I thought I knew everything. But I was seeing Detroit in an entire new light. And the more I learned, the more questions I asked and the more I researched and read every book and just absorbed information, the more I loved it. And then I just literally was stopping people on the street saying, did you know this? Did you know that? Let me tell you. And met Maureen Kearns and we together started Inside Detroit to really get that out there because the Motor City, right? You know, everyone drives in, goes to the three places that they know, or grew up here in a time, you know, not that recently, and assumes that they know. So when we take people that have lived here their entire lives and show them Detroit in this different perspective, they are blown away. And more importantly, they fall in love again with this city that didn't have anyone really telling that good news story. Yeah, everything, all the bad news that you can get, but nothing about the community members that really are working hard and always have been to bring the city up and do amazing things, and it's inspiring.
Give us, if you would, a couple hidden gems that people probably just don't know about that they need to go experience.
Yeah, we have what we call our wow facts. That Why Detroit page, we've started calling them our wow facts because you'll actually literally go, like I can tell someone it's called the wow facts and then tell them something, they'll go, wow, I didn't know that. like in the Central Business District, the 1 square mile of downtown Detroit, we actually keep a current list, and right now it is at 137 bars and restaurants, not counting Jimmy John's, McDonald's, or lunch spots, or they're only open during the week, but 137. And that's everything from Cuban, German, Thai, Greek, rock and roll, jazz, blues, martinis, cheap beer, whatever you're looking for, just within walk distance, for example, of where I live in downtown. But, you know, everyone goes, oh, I've been everywhere, or there's nothing to do in Detroit. And we have 137 places in 1 square mile, and that checklist is actually on our website at InstaDetroit.org, so you can see where you've been and challenge yourself to go to new places, explore new small businesses, whether they're new to you and been here 55 years, or they're new because they just opened last week. The whole spectrum is covered there. Also, one of my favorite wow facts from a historical standpoint is that Martin Luther King actually gave the I Have a Dream speech for the very first time here in Detroit. It wasn't Washington, D.C., where we all know the Great March in Washington. But on June 23rd, 1963, which I'm sure some of your listeners were a part of, marched 200,000 people down Woodward, where it was actually a longer version of the I Have a Dream speech, and it was recorded on Motown Records. So it's kind of a big trial run for what we all know as the March in Washington in August of 63. And just lots of little tidbits like that Guardian Building. Guardian Building is one of the most beautiful buildings, not just in the country, not just in the city, but in the entire country. And I can't tell you how many people I've taken there that have lived here their whole life that literally jaw-dropping. Like, it's the building that created the word jaw-drop. And you're never the same once you've been in the Guardian Building.
Well, you know, and it's interesting. You said something a little bit earlier that kind of resonated with me. You know, you have your place where you go. So whatever that is for you, whether it's, let's say it's just to make it, keep it simple, Comerica Park or the Fox Theater, you go there and then you leave. And what are you leaving behind? I mean, the real question is, you know, where would you go before? Or, you know, and I'll bet you there are people that go to baseball games or football games and they go, you know, it's a shame there's nothing to do after the game down here. And how many people have said there's really nothing to do at night in Detroit? How wrong are they?
So wrong. Again, I mean, even just outside of the park, I mean, part of the problem, right, is because, again, the Motor City, the drive-in, drive-out, but also the extreme amount of parking lots, right, which is funny because people actually say, oh, there's no parking, it's hard to find parking. I mean, if you look at American cities in general, we have more parking than you could possibly imagine. We actually have 100,000 off-street, I'm talking off-street, non-metered parking spots just in the Woodward corridor alone. And what we try to do in Inside Detroit is take people just literally a block. I mean, like, there's Chili's Chili, right, which everybody knows because it's right there across from the stadium. But two blocks from the stadium, you have Cliff Bells, this 1935 jazz club where you literally step back into time with triple barrel vaulted gold leaf ceilings. And right next door to that, you have Park Bar and Bucharest Grill with 30 different beers on tap. Some brewed just around the corner, some brewed, you know, just, you know, around the world. But the most amazing chicken shawarma sandwich that, I'm not joking, you will be addicted to. And then there's every place, this is what the best part is. It's not Applebee's or Hooters on every corner, like in some cities that have a whole bunch of bars and restaurants. Every single place is a small business where the owner lives upstairs or around the corner and is living their dream, running this place in Detroit and is part of the community. And that's the best part, is the story behind the people that are creating things here, whether they've been here a day or a lifetime. And that's where the magic happens.
Well, yeah, magic indeed. Let me remind people, my guest is Jeanette Pierce. If you go to InsideDetroit.org, and perhaps it might be fun, folks, if you put a little group together. How many people do you normally, numbers-wise, go on a single tour?
Well, again, we have the public tours. If you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people, they can show up on any of our tours. They're all listed on our website. But it only really takes like 8 people to put a customized tour together. What do you want to see? What do you want to know? From strolling suppers to, scavenger hunts, actually, which brings up another point, because October 1st, we're doing this huge...
I got to get real quick. We're almost out of time.
Yeah. October 1st, discover a city that you thought you knew, all by finding things and win prizes at the same time. It's our fundraiser. You'll be blown away.
All right. Thank you, Jeanette. Love your enthusiasm. InsideDetroit.org. We'll have you back some other time. We'll take the break. We're open lines on the other side.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Things are looking just fine out there on the roadways. No major accidents or slowdowns out there right now. You'll find some heavier congestion around the 75-696 interchange, but really nothing going on. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high around 82 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-60s. And then tomorrow, not quite as nice, mostly cloudy, a high right around 76 degrees and a chance for a shower or thunderstorm. Currently, it's fair and 63 at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift coming up right after this.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. CWA President Larry Cohen says 45,000 striking CWA and IBEW workers at Verizon are fighting for the middle class against $1 billion in concessions demanded by the highly profitable company. Cohen says Verizon's justification that its wired business is in decline is no excuse for the effort to squeeze money from the workers.
These are the workers that build the backbone of the entire company, wireless and wireline. They've had union busting at Verizon Wireless for 15 years, fired thousands of workers, closed centers to avoid unionization on the wireless side. So that rings hollow.
The American Dream movement is busy this summer telling Congress what Americans really want when it comes to government spending and the economy. There's a contract for the American Dream that lays out a progressive alternative to austerity policies. Natalie Foster, CEO and co-founder of Rebuild the Dream, says the American Dream movement has a clear message for Congress.
For months, the debate in Washington has been focused on cutting programs that people depend on rather than creating jobs and making millionaires pay their fair share. We have a very simple message for Washington, and that is that America is not broke. Americans don't want Congress to gut vital programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. But Americans do want jobs, and they want an economy that builds a strong middle class and a future that they can believe in.
Dozens of organizations, including labor unions, the Sierra Club, MoveOn.org, and many others, are partners in the American Dream movement. Foster says 130,000 people wrote the contract for the American Dream online, submitting 20,000 ideas.
And then offline, in every congressional district in the country, there were house meetings that happened where people came together and deliberated the things that had sort of risen to the top online. And from that came the contract for the American Dream, a progressive economic vision for this country.
The democracy addicts are among those reminding Wisconsin Republicans that we're still here. Jesse Russell reports.
The Democracy Addicts are a new organization in Wisconsin that was born out of the protests in February. Sharing their mutual frustration on Twitter, they decided to meet in person over beer. Since then, the movement has expanded to 6 cities and includes more than 200 everyday citizens, many of whom have never been politically involved before. Last month, the Democracy Addicts started the We're Still Here project, intended to remind Republicans in the Capitol that they aren't going away and to let others know they don't need to stop fighting. You can view the videos at the Democracy Addicts website, DEMAA.org. The following is a snippet from the video by founding member Jenny Dye.
We're still going to keep fighting for the values that we believe in, for what we believe Wisconsin deserves, and for what we want for ourselves and our neighbors. 150 days or so later, we're still here. We're still fighting. and we're asking you to join us.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Got a question or comment? Call now. 888-552-3595. First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310. WDTW.
Welcome back. 35 minutes after the hour. Again, my thanks to Jeanette Pierce, who's certainly a passionate advocate for the city of Detroit. That tour is something I'd like to do at some point, because I know that there are gems of the city that I have no clue that even exist. Even the old jazz club she talked about, I didn't know was there. So what a neat opportunity. If you get a chance, go to InsideDetroit.org, and we've got it posted to the Facebook page, and you can check it out. Now, as I was saying earlier in the show, and I realize most of you probably didn't watch the debate on Fox News last night between the Republican candidates leading up to tomorrow's straw poll in Iowa. They were all there, with the exception of Thaddeus McCotter. It was entertaining at certain points. Now, again, full disclosure, I only watched the first 30 minutes, and that in and of, I mean, I certainly had an opportunity to see all of the candidates speak, at least to some degree. Early on, Michelle Bachmann was getting a lot of the attention, as was Mitt Romney. I'm sure that they were able to level that out at some point throughout what I believe was a two-hour debate. But, you know, and we'll talk a little bit about, you know, the Facebook First Shift poll question today is, who do you think won? And we finally have a response for an actual candidate. Somebody has voted for Mitt Romney. I didn't watch it all, so I can't pick a winner for something I didn't watch. I'm going to, again, caution you to not ignore the Republican events. And I don't want to hear your excuse. I can't listen to them drone on, or I can't stand what they have to say. It hurts my ears to hear them. No. That's naive. That's naive. If you're truly going to be politically active, You need to be responsible about this, and you need to listen to what's happening on both sides. You're doing yourself and those that you will try to influence to your side to not know what is being said. I think it's important that you're engaged. Now, again, I watched a half an hour these things, and they're not really debates, of course. But as I was watching them opine, there are some impressions that I will share with you, and then we're going to talk a little bit in this half hour about Mitt Romney's bad day. And it was only bad in that he gave an answer to one question that blew my mind, and of course everybody's jumping all over it. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. My impressions watching this spectacle, this Republican spectacle last night, is that Mitt Romney and Newt Gingrich, honestly, looked the most presidential, if you will. They both had great answers. You know, Newt Gingrich has absolutely no chance in hell of winning the straw poll, and he is not being taken seriously by the Republican establishment and will not be taken seriously. All that aside, I thought he did a very good job yesterday of answering the questions that were asked of him. They were clear. They were straightforward. It sounded like something, okay? Mitt Romney is a professional campaigner at this point, and I thought he carried himself well in the actual event, you know, during the actual televised event. Michelle Bachmann had real issues, just looking comfortable. She looked like a deer in the headlights most of the time. She kept on repeating the same themes over and over and over again. And she lost me right away. I just don't see how anyone can take her seriously. Oddly, she's leading in the polls in Iowa, and chances are she'll win the straw poll tomorrow. But that makes no sense. And again, it begins to make you question whether Republican voters know what the hell they're doing, because she did not look presidential last night. That's for damn sure. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's go to the phones now and welcome Richard in Livonia. Of course, I was in Livonia last night, had a great time at the Democratic Club. Richard, welcome to First Shift. What's on your mind this morning?
Hi, Tony, and thank you for your welcome. Elizabeth Warren kind of got what we would call it the shaft by not continuing in her job. What do you think of her for being a state senator from Massachusetts?
I'm sorry, what do I think of what?
Of Elizabeth Warren being a state senator from Massachusetts.
Well, I think she'd be an excellent candidate.
Yeah, they're going to put her against that guy Brown. Scott Brown, right. But you know, an interesting thing I've noticed in the program, she's on the earth that since the 1960s, the debt limit was 75 times raised, and a staggering 66 times of them were by the Republicans. And seven were only within the last 10 years, from the year 2000.
Well, you know,
that increased the debt from $4.5 trillion to $11.6 trillion. What do you think of that?
Well, listen, there's no question that the Republicans are, and thank you for your call, Richard, there's no question that the Republicans were hypocritical on the debt ceiling issue. This should just be, you know, it should have been as automatic as it's always been, and for whatever reason, it wasn't. And so, yeah, it's just hypocritical. I appreciate the call, Richard. We just got to give him down. We've got other callers on the line. Again, feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. Dan in Milford joins us now. Thanks for punching in this morning. Dan, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Tony. First of all, I want to say I'm in the West Oakland Democrats. I'm a team leader for Organizing for America, and we held a team party at my house for viewing for President Obama's birthday the night before.
Yeah.
And I had a teacher, a retired teacher, come to my home that taught you in high school. And she spoke very highly of you, and she was very proud of the work you're doing. So I want you to know that.
Well, thank you. May I ask who it was?
You know what?
You don't know. Yeah, that's okay.
There was about 25 people there, and
I appreciate that. First of all, I want to thank you for actually walking the walk and talking the talk and providing your home and doing that. You're the kind of activist we need to win in 2012, so thank you.
You're welcome, and I agree, and I hope for more to be joining me. My actual comment, Tony, was your last call yesterday, and I was infuriated by the guy, but you had to close the show. I'm, like, dialing my phone as fast as I could. But he said he was making this argument about the fact that what makes America great is that it provides the opportunity to earn as much money as you want. And I guess I just could not disagree more. What makes America great is really our organizing principles and our Constitution and our freedom of, you know, political freedom and freedom of religion and all of those things. And I've talked to you a couple of times before, but what I've talked about is greed, in that what he's talking about is freedom for greed. And it really is not what makes this country great. What makes this country great is things like, you know, the common good and a good public education. The rest of the things that
you know, Dan, it's interesting. I was at the Livonia Democratic Club last night. They invited me to come speak, and they open up their meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, and of course the last words in the Pledge of Allegiance are "and justice for all." And
right.
it really struck me yesterday how we have aborted that saying in this country, that phrase. The Republicans certainly don't believe and justice for all. They don't. They've proven that, and especially over, just think about, Dan, and I know you do, what's happened in the last 6 months in this state and in this country. As we have seen that tidal wave that came in 2010, and again, I spoke passionately about this last night. You know, we have the numbers in. The reason the Republicans won is because Democrats didn't vote in 2010. They stayed home. And so they have to own some of that. You know, as Democrats, we need to own some of that. But with that said, we need to learn, Dan, from our mistakes. And one of them is right now there isn't justice for all. And that should scare us.
Yeah, and it just because it changes the complexion of who we are as a country, Tony, and I don't want to belong to a country or a community that can't reach out and help their neighbors when they need it.
I couldn't agree with you any more than I do on that statement. Absolutely. You know, this idea, you know, it's kind of interesting, and of course I find it offensive as hell that Republicans, you know, hold that Christian mantra up. They hold that shield of armor. You know, I am onward Christian soldier. Yet the first thing they do is turn away from a basic tenet of Christianity, which is to honor thy mother and father and to love thy brother and neighbor.
Gandhi said it best, Tony. He said, I like your Christ, but I don't like your Christian.
Yeah, all right. Fair enough. Dan, I appreciate a great and intelligent phone call, and thank you for standing up and doing that and so outwardly. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
More to come, Tony. Thank you for what you do.
Absolutely. Thank you for what you do. That's see, this is when I talk about that showing up and standing up. Dan's one of those guys that's standing up. You know, I was at the Livonia Democratic Club last night. I was with a lot of people that stand up. I mean, a lot of people that stand up. And so, you know, I wish that I could take all of you with me when I go to these meetings in the evening and I meet these people. Some of them I know, some of them I just meet, and many of them are anxious to share with me, like Dan did today, what they're involved in and what they're doing. I love these stories. They fuel me. They make me feel very good about what we're doing here, that we're giving voice. Again, this is our radio show. This is our movement, and that we're giving voice to the ideas and to the really the direction of where we want our communities to go. You know, that's exciting stuff. I mean, that's how come I get out of bed every morning. We're making a difference. When we come back, Mitt Romney, what did he say about corporations that has the whole country buzzing today? Well, we're going to play it for you, and then you can decide for yourself. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595, tony@thetonyshow.org. We'll take the break. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
It's Congress that does the spending. The president is prohibited to do that. If he had the power to do that, he would be making the spending decisions. He would be making the taxing decisions. Clearly, that's unconstitutional.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hey, Detroit. Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal Town Hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
When the show is done, the party has just begun. Join the staff of First Shift and the cast of the Sexy Liberal Tour for an after party you will talk about for a long time to come. Immediately following the show, join Tony, Jeff, and Todd with Stephanie and her crew
Saturday, August 20th,
and nosh on some delicious goodies like beef brisket, jumbo shrimp, imported cheeses and olives, and grilled chicken. While rubbing elbows with some of the people you listen to every day, and in the process, help us as we will donate all the proceeds to Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts as we team with the Sexy Liberal Tour and their donation as well. For just $20 per person, you will end your evening with great food, great conversation, and what will sure to be some stories to tell. Send a check or money order to the Tony Trupiano Show at P.O. Box 1027, Dearborn Heights, Michigan 48127. You may pay at the door that evening, but you must RSVP in advance to Tony at thetonyshow.org by Friday, August 19th at noon.
Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and this state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org, and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Mike Rowe here with Jim Twitchell. Jim, what are you?
I'm a senior master technician, Mike.
Can the Works Fuel Saver package save me money on gas, yes or no?
Yes, it does. By making sure that your car is in optimal running condition, you save yourself fuel.
Save money on gas with the Works Fuel Saver package. Just $29.95 or less after $10 rebate.
Can you think of one good reason why somebody wouldn't bring their Ford to you right now for the Works Fuel Saver package?
Honestly, Mike, no.
Up to 5 quarts oil, taxes, diesel, and disposal fees extra. See participating Ford dealer for rebate details through 8/31/11. Claim based on EPA averages.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Detroit's Progressive Talk, the home for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now here's Tony.
All right, Mitt Romney in Iowa yesterday. You know, just so you understand, Mitt Romney has not paid a lot of attention to Iowa. He doesn't expect to win there, and he's not spent a lot of money there and not a lot of time there, but he had to be there for the debate last night and the straw poll, which will happen tomorrow. So he was there. He had to work, you know, the crowds a bit, and so he did that. Now, before, let's get to the controversial quote, and then we'll get to some other stuff. As I was referencing, if you haven't heard it yet, somebody asked a question about money. This is what he had to say.
Corporations are people, my friend. We can raise taxes on... Of course they are. Everything corporations earn ultimately goes to people. So, where do you think it goes? Whose pockets? Whose pockets? People's pockets. Okay, human beings, my friend. So, number one.
Human beings, my friend. Corporations are people. Corporations are people. Now, he definitively said that. The Democratic National Committee jumped all over that. They actually did a very, if you'll Google it, or maybe Todd can find it, they did a ad to, and behind it, they put Barbra Streisand's famous song, People, behind it. And it was interesting. We don't play it, that one, because, unfortunately, they use a lot of graphics, and you can't hear graphics, unfortunately. But it was very cleverly done, so maybe we'll put it up on the Facebook page. If not, go and find it. But it's very interesting. I think that that quote's going to cost them. Ultimately, I think that quote will cost them. Corporations are people, my friend. All right. Well, there were some liberal activists in the Ames, Iowa crowd yesterday, and let's just go on to hear that exchange.
Hold on just a moment. You know what? I get a chance. I can let you speak in a moment.
You came here to listen to the people.
No. I came here to speak, and you'll get to ask a question. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I'll let you speak. Hold on a second. Let me speak. Hold on a second.
We're also on Medicare.
Good.
It's a tremendous program. What are you going to do to strengthen Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid without cutting benefits?
All right, let's get his answer. Okay, all right, you've had your chance. Anything else you want to say?
Well, I'm going to see what you're going
to
say.
Well, I'll tell you, the way this is going to work is that you get to ask your question, I get to give my answer. If you don't like my answer, you can vote for someone else. But now it's my turn to give my answer. You ready for my answer? I'm not going to raise taxes. That's my answer. I'm not going to raise taxes. And if you want somebody that can raise taxes, you can vote for Barack Obama. But let me tell you what Barack Obama's doing. Barack Obama is killing this economy. Barack Obama's is why 25 million people don't have jobs and can't find jobs. And the...
Wall Street.
Okay, next question. We get another question? I got to give it over here. Yes, sir. You've had your turn. I've had my turn.
As governor of Massachusetts, you closed corporate tax loopholes on big banks to raise revenue and balance the state budget. If you were elected president, would you do the same thing and look at the revenue side of the equation to balance the federal budget?
The question is, as governor of Massachusetts, I closed loopholes on big banks that were abusing our tax system. And would I do the same as president? Let me tell you, let's describe what is a loophole and what's raising taxes. In my opinion, a loophole is when someone takes advantage of a tax law in a way that wasn't intended by the legislation.
And there's Mitt Romney. We got one more piece. Yeah, we can get it in. One more piece of audio. Megyn Kelly with Karl Rove.
In a campaign, there come moments, and you can never prepare for them. But in retrospect, we look at them and we say, people looked at how a candidate handled himself or herself in that moment and said either they're up to the job or they're not up to the job of being candidate, or I'm comfortable seeing him as president or I'm not comfortable seeing him as president. Now, I'm at a disadvantage. I'm hearing the exchange. I'm not seeing it. Mm. And that is a disadvantage.
You got to see him. He's in like a golf shirt and jeans, and he's standing in front of...
And casual.
Yeah, and he's on a bunch of hay, and it's a very relaxed setting, right. And, you know, lots of real folks standing around him.
And it sounds like these people are sort of out of control, and he calms them down, and he treats the guy with respect, gives him a chance, allows a little moment of levity, and then gives his response, and then moves on. And that, look, that this is going to serve Romney well if it looks well. Now, it sounds good, but remember, the people who listened to it on radio in the 1960 presidential debate thought Nixon won. The people who watched it on their television saw Kennedy won. So how he looks
is going to matter. He's not losing his composure, you know, facially. But I want to ask you you know, your guy, George W. Bush, had a moment, and Dennis Miller has famously said, and a lot of people feel the way he did, that he was actually a Democrat or leaned left until he saw George W. Bush after 9/11 with the megaphone. And he had an unscripted moment that really made a lot of Americans see him in a different light. I don't know. You know, could something as small as this turn into something at least significant as that was?
Well, it's not going to be that significant as that symbolic moment was, but could it do a lot of good for Romney? Yes. And look, it's funny. It's a funny thing. Iowa has a strange history of these nutty little groups of left-wingers. In fact, I spoke at the University of Iowa, and a woman who was in her 80s was brandishing plastic handcuffs trying to arrest me. She was accompanied by a young kid who was probably in his late teens, early 20s. 6 months later, I spoke in Des Moines, halfway across the state. The woman showed up brandishing her plastic handcuffs again, got arrested. So candidates, obviously, once you start this dynamic, it's hard to stop.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if we didn't see in Iowa and in other states, left-wing groups try and come in and beard the Republican candidate.
All right, that's good, Jeff. You can cut it off there. You know, and making the point, first of all, left-wing groups... well, again, their characterization is their characterization. I'll let that go for now. Well, questions are legitimate questions. Now, the other question that needs to be asked here, and what they were referring to in that last bit of audio, is was this some kind of propelling moment for Mitt Romney? Can this propel him to some kind of elite status in his campaign? Now, I'll be the first to admit I thought Mitt Romney handled the heckling quite well. The one guy was in a hat. He was screaming at him. You know, Mitt Romney didn't back down. He said, "Oh, hold on. Now let the guy talk." And he let him talk. And he, you know, kind of addressed his question. Not completely, but he kind of answered the question. You know, you want my answer? You want my answer? I'm not going to raise taxes. Well, that wasn't the question. The question wasn't whether or not you're going to raise taxes, Mitt Romney. What are you going to do about Social Security to keep it strong? So that wasn't really, again, the answer to the question. But I don't see this as a defining, that exchange as some kind of defining moment that elevates him in some way. But again, I thought he handled as a candidate, and he's uncomfortable with crowds. You know, any of you that have watched Mitt Romney, this is not his first election cycle. He's not terribly comfortable in crowds. He's not really good one-on-one. I don't think he's very personable, to be honest with you. And so I'm taking all that into consideration, and again, I do media training. I've worked with candidates in the past. If somebody were to have sent me that video and said, "Hey, break this down," you know, I would have given him a B minus, maybe a B. I mean, he handled it okay. But I think that the corporations or people comment, you're going to hear that again. And I'm not just talking today and over the weekend and the beginning of next week. This is something that the Obama campaign will pull out over and over and over again if it proves that Mitt Romney is the candidate. All right. Joe DeSano on the other side of this, and then we'll have time for your calls as well in the next hour. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll get with Ross with traffic and weather, CNN with headline news. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Things are looking great out there on the roads right now. We are slowdown free at this point. Sadly, we're not accident free. We do have one accident, 606 eastbound, right after DeQuinder. No delays, but it is blocking the shoulder. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high in the lower 80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 66. And then tomorrow, the clouds move in and a chance for a shower or thunderstorm, a high in the mid-70s. Currently, it's fair and 63 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift coming up after the top of the hour.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Sound off on our Facebook page, facebook.com/1310WDTWAM.
Hey, it's Todd from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m. right here on 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Now time for news from CNN.
CNN Radio, I'm Andy Rose. The Postal Service has been talking about cutting thousands of post offices and stopping delivery on Saturday, and all that could have its price for workers. CNN's Matt Cherry tells us about their latest budget-cutting plans.
Documents obtained by CNN Money show the Postal Service is appealing to Congress to remove collective bargaining restrictions so it can lay off 120,000 workers. Postmaster General Patrick Donahue says the agency stands to lose almost $9 billion this year, a big reason why: a large decline in mail volume.
People pay their bills online these days at a 50% clip, where they used to pay them all in the mail.
Just last month, the Postal Service also released a list of over 3,000 post offices that it might close to cut costs. Matt Cherry, CNN.
Speaking of jobs, Americans don't think things will get any better anytime soon. A new CNN ORC poll shows 70% think there will be no more jobs in their community a year from now than there are right now. Mike Capps has owned a family business in Georgia for more than 40 years. He doesn't have much enthusiasm either.
I'm a small business owner, and we're hurting. You know, we're absolutely hurting. And I don't see it getting any better.
However, the latest unemployment report shows the number of new claims went down last week. The two presidential candidates from Minnesota went after each other in last night's Iowa debate. On Fox News, Tim Pawlenty delivered a backhanded compliment to Michelle Bachmann.
She's done wonderful things in her life, absolutely wonderful things, but it's an undisputable fact that in Congress, her record of accomplishment and results is non-existent.
Bachman accused Pawlenty of supporting environmental regulation and health reform when he was governor. There'll be another hat thrown in the ring tomorrow. Texas Governor Rick Perry will announce his presidential candidacy, in South Carolina. This is CNN Radio.
The majority of Americans live within 5 miles of a Radio Shack, which means you're close to being able to trade and save. Bring in your eligible electronics, like a phone or a computer, and get instant savings on new electronics. Can you trade in an old phone? Yes. A pair of corduroy pants? No. But an MP3 player? Yes. Right now, trade in any eligible working laptop and get $50 or more toward a new tablet, $399 and up. Trade and save at Radio Shack.
Offer good at participating stores, 3-8-14-11. Trade-in product condition and other restrictions apply. All trade-ins final, not available or prohibited by law.
I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us, business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's this? Stock futures are not launching into the stratosphere, nor plunging into the abyss. Even as European markets rally 2%, S&P futures are gaining 6 points. NASDAQ futures up 6, Dow futures up a little more than 40. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we get the government's comprehensive reading of retail sales for July. Along with stores, the report includes venues such as car dealers, gas stations, and restaurants. One area of retail which suffered a tough July was the video game business. NPD Group reports sales of game titles, consoles, and accessories fell 26% last month from a year ago, to the worst level in half a decade. A big reason for slowing sales of video games for consoles is the rising popularity of games on social networks. And today there is another big player on that stage. Google Plus making its first foray into gaming, 16 games from 10 different game makers. They include a couple of the Titans, Angry Birds, and Zynga Poker. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
I just opened my third doggy daycare. My business is growing by leaps and bounds. My marketing is deluxe.
I'm hiring drivers for my shuttle service. My business is picking up. My marketing is deluxe.
I care for 52 lawns. My business is growing. My marketing is deluxe.
Use deluxe online marketing tools to help your business grow. Deluxe for business.
Deluxe for my business.
For my business.
For my business.
Deluxe for business. Visit deluxe.com/marketing.
Looking for a better way to grow your business? A Regions Cash Core analysis can help uncover ways to optimize your cash flow and improve your bottom line. It's all part of the better business banking experience we're building just for you. So, if you're ready for a bank with the insight and guidance to help grow your business, switch to Regions. Drop by a branch or visit regions.com/yourbusiness today. Regions, it's time to expect more. Regions Bank, member FDIC.
The majority of Americans live within 5 miles of a Radio Shack, which means you're close to being able to trade and save. Bring in your eligible electronics, like a phone or a computer, and get instant savings on new electronics. Can you trade in an old phone? Yes! A pair of corduroy pants? No! But an MP3 player? Yes! Right now, trade in any eligible working laptop and get $50 or more toward a new tablet, $399 and up. Trade and save at Radio Shack.
Offer good at participating stores through 8/14/11. Trade-in product condition and other restrictions apply. All trade-ins final. Not available or prohibited by law.
I need a three-phase cooling tower motor to stay in business. Business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
If we take good care of our customers, they'll take good care of us. Business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Solidarity, a union of interests or purposes or sympathies among members of a group. Union, the state of being united, an organization of workers. Justice, the administering of deserved punishment or reward. Fairness, free from dishonesty or injustice. Equality, the state of quality being equal. First Shift with Tony Trupiano. It's about freaking time.
Welcome, everybody. It is 8:07, and it is the last hour of this Friday program. You know what? Every week, we always save the best for last, and indeed, we'll do that. We'll get to our guest in just a moment. I want to remind you, if you want to join us any time throughout this hour, it's as simple as picking up the phone and dialing toll-free. 888-552-3595, 888-552-3595. Of course, emails are always acceptable, tony@thetonyshow.org. We're going to tell you a little bit more about the after party, the Stephanie Miller event, a little bit later on in this hour. If you're just joining us, I got a phone call yesterday in my office from UAW Local 174. A guy by the name of Matt called me. They've asked me to walk with them in this year's Labor Day Parade and to speak at their cookout afterwards. I'm truly honored that they reached out to me. Of course, I accepted, and we'll look forward to walking with my union brothers and sisters during the Labor Day Parade on, I believe it's September 5th. And just, again, I was very moved and honored that they asked me. I also want to thank my friends at the Livonia Democratic Club for having me as their guest speaker. Last evening, they had a full room. They literally could not fit another person in that room. The Livonia Democrats are a very passionate and purposeful group of people. They take their politics very seriously in Livonia, I assure you. And it was just an honor to be with some great, great people, very passionate, very purposeful activists, and feel blessed, really feel blessed. Had a great day yesterday, and was a wonderful way to end my day. All right, let's go to our guest, if you would. Go ahead.
It's time to talk politics with our political strategist
from Main Street Strategies,
Joe DeSano.
And we welcome Joe DeSano back to First Shift. Although Joe is on vacation, he has decided to give us a little bit of time this morning. I hope we didn't have to get you up early, Joe, but if we did, well, you're here now. We might as well do it.
Well, I happen to be an early riser, but I've got some breaking news.
next Friday, I'm going to be in studio.
Really?
That is if the offer's still open.
The offer's always open.
All right. Yeah, I'll be down there next Friday to greet everyone in person and do my shenanigans live and in the flesh.
Well, good. No, we'll look forward to that. And, of course, you can join us for our staff meeting afterwards.
Right on. I will absolutely be there and drinking copious amounts of coffee with you guys.
We have copious.
Have a pancake.
We have copious amounts of coffee and more pancakes than you'll know what to do with after the show, I promise you. That's great news. I'm glad to hear that. Joe, let me play a little bit. I'm going to play a little bit of sound, and then I'm going to have you comment. Go ahead.
See, it didn't happen because we don't have the capacity to pay our bills. It happened because Washington doesn't have the capacity to come together and get things done. It was a self-inflicted wound. That's why people are frustrated. Maybe you hear it in my voice. That's why I'm frustrated. Because you deserve better. You guys deserve better.
And that, of course, President Barack Obama in Holland, Michigan yesterday. Joe, listen, what he had to say was, real. It's what's happening. It's, I think, an accurate reflection of what's going on. Could it be maybe a little bit hypocritical being that, he wasn't all-inclusive yesterday?
Well, I don't think so at all. There's one thing in reaching across the aisle repeatedly over a three-year presidency and being rebuffed at each and every term, or each and every time, and there's a minor kerfuffle going on out there with freshman congressman Wayne Huizenga, who is very, very upset that he was not invited to the event yesterday. The fact of the matter is, He opposes the president at every turn and then gets upset when somehow the president visits the district and he doesn't get invited. It's, civility is a two-way street. And I think, in fact, I will criticize the president for being far too civil with these clowns. So hopefully this is maybe a sign that the White House is going to take a harder edge with the far, far right Tea Party folks, which Wayne Huizenga is certainly a charter member of.
Well, I didn't think it was. I mean, of course, I threw the question out there. I didn't think it was necessarily hypocritical for most, certainly for the reasons that you just shared with me in the audience. But Joe, at the same time, the president wasn't being uncivil in his remarks yesterday. He was being, again, just reporting the facts as we know them. Anybody that's paying attention, this is such a nonpartisan observation. These two sides are not getting along. It's clear the Republicans have one idea, and that idea is we will not let the president get credit for anything. And the Democrats have another idea. It's time we start compromising and getting something done. Now, people don't have to see that, but it's there. And if they're not seeing it, they're just not looking, Joe.
But I think folks are beginning to see it. I mean, you see some of the polling that's been coming out in the wake of this budget deal. And congressional Republicans are at an all-time low. You actually see the president standing among independents at an uptick because those are the folks who maybe are paying attention to this the most, and they're the least partisan of the folks out there. So, I think the president is gaining an advantage. I personally wish you would hold them more to task. The way that the president allowed the Tea Party to hold the country hostage, I thought was, very honestly, I thought it was pathetic. And I would strongly urge him to take a page out of the Harry Truman playbook and get out there and go after these guys by name. I would even go back to the healthcare debate when he was trying to get a few moderate GOP senators to sign on to healthcare, they were being roadblocks, but the people in the state were overwhelmingly supporting the president's policies. The president needs to get out there and hold these people to the fire. He needs to go into their districts and call them out. And I don't think there's anything uncivil about that. I think it's good politics, and I think it results in good policy.
Well, let's talk about good politics for a moment. If you were advising this president, you know that nationally, a lot of, especially the progressive media pundits, bloggers, the cable TV people have been pounding the message all week, jobs, jobs, jobs. And, you know, especially Chris Matthews and Rachel Maddow have gone out of their way to come up with their own jobs program. And they're saying this is what it needs to look like. It needs to be infrastructure. You need to go into communities. You need to go into Republican communities. And you need to take pictures of decaying bridges and schools that are falling apart and roads that are full of potholes. And then you need to publish that, and you need to say to the congressman in that district, you know what? Let's fix this problem. Why don't we take care of your district and force them to say no? Would you advise the president to do that?
I would advise the president to have done that 3 years ago. The president came into this period of time in office with the belief, and I believe wrongly so, that the Republicans were going to be fair players. They were going to put the country before petty partisan politics, and they just clearly have not. And the president has played into their hands. And that's the advice I would give the president. And I think what you just said is very similar to what I said previously. Now here's the thing. One thing folks need to understand, whatever frustrations there are with the president among progressive pundits, and progressive activists in this country, these folks, and myself included, are still solidly behind the man. We can be disappointed in him and some of his decision-making, but never forget that he's the best player on the field. I mean, I don't know if anyone watched that Republican debate last night, but that was some crazy people saying some crazy stuff and made me much more of a supporter of Barack Obama than perhaps I was before I turned on that Fox debate.
Yeah, well, in fact, I watched the first half hour. As you know, I get up too early to have stayed up to watch it all. I you know, we do a poll question every morning on Facebook, as you're aware, and my question this morning is, who do you feel won the debate? And Barack Obama's winning that vote. I jokingly threw his name in there, but you know, and again, I recognize the liberal bias of this audience, and no question, you know, Joe, as we look at the Congress is on recess, the president has a unique opportunity to control the media cycle right now. You know, this is not, in my opinion, he shouldn't be waiting till September when Congress comes back. You know, it's time for action. It's time to start putting stuff out there now. And I'm just waiting for him to do something more than what he did in Holland, Michigan yesterday.
Well, he does seem to have a knack for ceding the stage to these crazy folks. And I think it's a deficiency. I think it is his personality to be a conciliator. But I think we need a warrior in chief. We don't need a conciliator in chief. These people would watch this country come undone in a heartbeat to score a political point. And we need to have a little bit of pride in fighting back with these people, and don't cede the stage. Put pressure on them for once. Sadly, our desire to conciliate and get things done for the greater good, in many cases, is deficiency.
Well, I'll call it the Granholm syndrome, because there's some similarities there. Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest. A quick break here. When we come back, Pete Hoekstra got himself into a real fight now, and when you find out what's going on, it may just take your breath away a little bit. This is big news. I'm Tony Truppiano. This is First Shift. We'll take the break and be right back right here on 1310 WDTW.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Jay, welcome to First Shift.
How you doing, Tony? Excellent show.
Frank, good morning.
You got a great show, by the way.
Tom, listening in Chicago.
You got a great show, Tony. You've been doing a great job. I've been listening to you since you came on the air, and good luck with it, and I hope you keep it going.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. We're looking at some slowdowns. 75 southbound between 14 mile down to 8 mile. 696 eastbound after DeQuinder. We're still working that accident there on the shoulder. Aside from that, we are looking pretty good.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, fantastic. No problems at all. Sunny and a high around 82. Tonight, partly cloudy. A low around 66. No such luck for Saturday, though. Mostly cloudy. A high in the mid-70s. A chance for a shower or thunderstorm. Currently, it's fair and 65 at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift with Tony Trupiano coming up right after this.
Hey, Detroit. Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal town hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
When the show is done, the party has just begun. Join the staff of First Shift and the cast of the Sexy Liberal Tour for an after party you will talk about for a long time to come. Immediately following the show, join Tony, Jeff, and Todd with Stephanie and her crew
Saturday, August 20th,
and nosh on some delicious goodies like beef brisket, jumbo shrimp, imported cheeses and olives, and grilled chicken. While rubbing elbows with some of the people you listen to every day, and in the process, help us as we will donate all the proceeds to Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts as we team with the Sexy Liberal Tour and their donation as well. For just $20 per person, you will end your evening with great food, great conversation, and what will sure to be some stories to tell. Send a check or money order to the Tony Trupiano Show at P.O. Box 1027, Dearborn Heights, Michigan 48127. You may pay at the door that evening, but you must RSVP in advance to Tony at thetonyshow.org by Friday, August 19th at noon.
Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Hi, this is Todd, Director of Advertising for First Shift with Tony Trupiano. If you're interested in having a coveted spot as an advertiser on First Shift, allow me the opportunity to share with you the many dynamic and affordable ways you can be a participant with the only progressive radio show in Detroit and the state. Just send me an email at todd@thetonyshow.org and I'll be happy to share with you the many programs we have available to help your sales and visibility grow while you support our excellent radio program. I look forward to hearing from you soon at todd@thetonyshow.org. Thanks.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
The best value? Simple. It's the one that lasts. Like the Midas Secure Stop Brake Service. New brake pads or shoes, just $99.99 per axle installed. With a guarantee good for as long as you own your car. New brake pads or shoes installed, just $99.99 per axle. Midas. Total car care. Total customer care.
Additional parts, labor, shop fees, and taxes extra. Most vehicles. See manager for guarantee terms. A participating Detroit area Midas.
Tony is back and wants to talk with you. Give him a call at 1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back. Joe DeSano, Main Street Strategies, is my guest on this Friday morning, as he is every Friday at this time. If you'd like to join us, feel free to do that. 888-552-3595. Clark Durant. Why does that name matter to us this morning, Joe DeSano?
Well, that name matters because he's now a candidate for the U.S. Senate and running in a primary against Pete Hoekstra. Now, he's been making the rounds in Washington and Lansing as a potential candidate here for the past several weeks. But now a really huge news event occurred yesterday. His campaign, his embryonic campaign, has been endorsed by Betsy DeVos, of the DeVos family fortune.
A former chair of the Michigan Republican Party.
Correct. And also that campaign's been endorsed by former U.S. Senator Spencer Abraham, as well as Republican National Committee man Saul Alinuzis. Three heavyweights in the Republican Party, and they've breathed huge life and probably huge dollars into Clark Durant's campaign. Why is this important? Well, because it means that Pete Hoekstra is going to have a real primary on his hands. And there's nothing that brings a smile to my heart more than Republican-on-Republican violence. And this looks to be a Donnybrook on the Republican side. Hoekstra seems to be a he's a legend in his own mind and has shown incredibly thick skin. 2 years ago, last year when he ran for governor, when the Right to Life folks and the business community endorsed Mike Cox over him, and there seems to be some dissatisfaction with his voting record among conservatives, and I think that's what's driving this huge rush to Clark Durant to create a conservative counterweight to Pete Hoekstra. So, you know, what looked to be clear sailing for Pete just days ago is now looking to be a huge, huge primary. And, of course, I think we've alluded to this on the show in previous segments. So listeners to the Tony Trupiano show are in the know really before anyone else, because we were talking about this before anyone else.
Well, you know, let me ask you. You said something that kind of piqued my interest. You said that Clark Durant has been making the rounds in Washington and Lansing for the past several weeks, but just 3 weeks ago, when Pete Hoekstra got into the race officially, he said that he got into it because he was asked and because no one else of merit was getting in. Were they keeping this from him? This Clark Durant strategy from him? Do you think?
You know, I think that goes back to my point about him, Pete Hoekstra, being a legend in his own mind. And I do think folks have approached Pete and wooed him into the race, but I think he was kind of lured in based on his own desire to think he's greater than he really is. And I think people played to his vanity and didn't have the full force of the Republican Party behind him like he thought. But as we all know, the Republicans are pretty duplicitous players. So maybe they figure, some of these folks figure, we'll lure Pete out that side of the playing field, knock his block off, and then we're done with him forever.
All right, well, for those that aren't familiar with Clark Durant, what is it that we know about him, Joe? And why, what makes him a serious challenger to Pete Hoekstra?
Well, he's a person of considerable wealth. His father was a charter member of the John Birch Society, so clearly he's right in tune with the modern-day Republican Party. I will say this about him. He has seemed to put his mouth or money where his mouth is. Whether you agree with charter schools or not, he has spent a lot of time in Detroit working on the charter school issue. I think his heart is in the right place on the subject, and the policy is misguided at best, but I do think his heart is in the right place, unlike a lot of conservatives. But he is the CEO of Cornerstone Charter Schools in the city of Detroit. He's a former member of the State Board of Education, and he ran for the U.S. Senate in 1990 and was defeated in the primary. He's got deep roots in the conservative movement, and he has deep pockets of his own. And more importantly now, he has access to the DeVos fortune.
Yeah, not to mention, you know, Saul Anousis is a fundraising genius. And Spence Abraham, one time, and this is who Debbie Stabenow beat to get her seat, he can raise money as well. I mean, these are people that are heavyweights within the state Republican Party. I mean, heavyweights within the state Republican Party. And of course... Pete Hoekstra, yeah, has his handful. The other part of this, Joe, is this continues to, and Mark Brewer and I talked about this on Monday at length, the Republicans may end up doing all the dirty work that needs to be done come time for the general election a year from now.
And that's exactly why I say nothing brings a smile to my face like Republican on Republican violence. I think Clark Durant is unelectable in a statewide election. I think Pete Hoekstra is only marginally more electable in a general election. And I'm looking at a Mexican gunfight here between Right to Life, the business community, the DeVos family, and Clark Durant all pointing guns at each other. And hopefully they have all eliminated each other from serious competition.
Well, you know, of course, the other candidates, Gary Glenn and others, where we can't take seriously, and Gary Glenn especially is doing it because he loves the sound of his own voice. You know, he loves to bring up issues that no one else is going to bring up, because that's what he's going to do. Clark Durant's, of course, challenge is going to be he'll have no problem getting Tea Party support. And Joe, maybe you can answer this. How big is the Tea Party statewide in Michigan? I'm sure that there are pockets where they're quite strong.
Well, there are pockets. The Tea Party is split into really two distinct groups. I mean, they agree on policy stuff almost with unanimity. But they are broken up into two different factions, more based on personality than policy. There doesn't seem to be in the state of Michigan one clear voice that speaks for them. There's Gene Clem down in the southwest portion of the state who is probably the most vocal Tea Party spokesperson in the state. But, you know, they control congressional district organizations on the Republican side. They took control of the Candace Miller congressional district party apparatus last January. It's difficult to put numbers on them. They're like cockroaches. Once you shine the light on them, they try to, you know, bite and run away.
Well, you know, again, Clark Durant will get their support over Pete Hoekstra. I think that goes without saying, does it not, at this point?
Well, it does, because Pete is, you know, he has a record to make the Tea Party's head explode. And what's really kind of interesting about it is in the past 2 years, he has kind of been a reborn Tea Partier. In fact, a lot of folks won't remember this, but Michelle Bachmann actually endorsed him in his election in the primary campaign last year. And he is a charter member of the Tea Party caucus. Now,
Hold that thought. We got to get to the break. I'm going to go get coffee. No tea for me. Thank you, Joe DeSano. But we'll get the coffee. We'll be back. I'm Tony Truppiano. Stay with us.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Good morning. Overall, things are looking just fine out there on the roadways. Just some minor slowdowns. 75 north and southbound, right around 696. Also, we almost have that accident, 696 eastbound after DeQuinder, completely out of the way. I'm Russ with traffic.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high near 82 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low in the mid-60s. And then tomorrow, some clouds move in, some showers and thunderstorms as well, a high in the mid-70s. Currently, it's fair and 65 degrees at Detroit City Airport. More First Shift with Tony Truppiano coming up just after this.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. CWA President Larry Cohen says 45,000 striking CWA and IBEW workers at Verizon are fighting for the middle class against $1 billion in concessions demanded by the highly profitable company. Cohen says Verizon's justification that its wired business is in decline is no excuse for the effort to squeeze money from the workers.
These are the workers that build the backbone of the entire company, wireless and wireline. They've had union busting at Verizon Wireless for 15 years, fired thousands of workers, closed centers to avoid unionization on the wireless side, so that rings hollow.
The American Dream movement is busy this summer telling Congress what Americans really want when it comes to government spending and the economy. There's a contract for the American Dream that lays out a progressive alternative to austerity policies. Natalie Foster, CEO and co-founder of Rebuild the Dream, says the American Dream movement has a clear message for Congress.
For months, the debate in Washington has been focused on cutting programs that people depend on, rather than creating jobs and making millionaires pay their fair share. We have a very simple message for Washington, and that is that America is not broke. Americans don't want Congress to gut vital programs like Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, but Americans do want jobs, and they want an economy that builds a strong middle class and a future that they can believe in.
Dozens of organizations, including labor unions, the Sierra Club, MoveOn.org, and many others, are partners in the American Dream movement. Foster says 130,000 people wrote the contract for the American Dream online, submitting 20,000 ideas.
And then offline, in every congressional district in the country, there were house meetings that happened where people came together and deliberated the things that had sort of risen to the top online. And from that came the contract for the American Dream, a progressive economic vision for this country.
The democracy addicts are among those reminding Wisconsin Republicans that we're still here. Jesse Russell reports.
The Democracy Addicts are a new organization in Wisconsin that was born out of the protests in February. Sharing their mutual frustration on Twitter, they decide to meet in person over beer. Since then, the movement has expanded to 6 cities and includes more than 200 everyday citizens, many of whom have never been politically involved before. Last month, the Democracy Attic started the We're Still Here project, intended to remind Republicans in the Capitol that they aren't going away and to let others know they don't need to stop fighting. You can view the videos at the Democracy Attic's website, DEMAA.org. The following is a snippet from the video by founding member Jenny Dye.
We're still going to keep fighting for the values that we believe in, for what we believe Wisconsin deserves, and for what we want for ourselves and our neighbors. 150 days or so later, we're still here. We're still fighting, and we're asking you to join us.
This newscast made possible in part through underwriting from the AFL-CIO. You've been listening to WIN, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. And now, back to work with First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
35 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Friday morning. Again, Joe DeSano with Main Street Strategies is my guest. Joe, we had to interrupt you before we were going to break, so I'll let you pick it up from there. And then I got another story here I got to share with you. I need your strategist brain for a little bit. Go ahead.
Oh, you piqued my interest. Why don't we skip right to that?
Well, we can, we can if you want. All right. Are you getting your Gongwer feed while you're on vacation?
I absolutely am.
The headline is growing number of Democrats facing recall attempts. Now, I've got a list of 16 or 17 Democrats, both in the House and in the Senate, that are being targeted by a Republican activist.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question, the question is, first of all, this hasn't made the news yet. You know, I've not seen it in the Main Street press yet. I saw Phil Kavanaugh last night when I was at a meeting, and he took me aside, and he said, you know, I got a call from Mirrors, which is another news service, just before I was leaving to come here tonight, asking me if I'd been contacted about my recall. And he was floored by it.
Well, this is here's one thing that we need to hold the mainstream media accountable on when this story does break the news, and it will at some point once the language starts getting filed and the county boards start meeting to approve the language and whatnot. The thing we need to hold them accountable to, mainstream media, is that this is a concerted effort orchestrated and paid for by the Michigan Republican Party. Now, that is in direct contrast to the recalls that have popped up of Republicans across the state, which is almost entirely grassroots-driven, very decentralized. No one from Lansing is calling the shots on these things. And that is a very, very important distinction because the Republican recalls are manufactured. The recalls that are out there for Republicans by Democrats is grassroots-driven. And that's an incredibly important distinction. As far as the current batch of recallers, I fully expect, you know, another 8 to 10 to appear on that list here in the next couple of weeks. The hope is to get a handful of these lawmakers, just 2 or 3, to actually appear on the February ballot, where the Republicans are hoping that they will have an overwhelming turnout advantage to Democrats, because they're hoping that the state taxpayers will put the bill for their primary, their presidential primary, bringing Republican voters to the polls en masse and swamping Democrats and maybe pulling 3 or 4 Democrats out of the legislature. This is a very, very serious threat, I believe, to some of these weaker Democrats.
Well, and so, you know, here we go. Let me, at the beginning of the week, there was an email that went out from the Michigan Democratic Party, which you may have received, Joe DeSano, that asked people to volunteer to help in Wisconsin on Tuesday. Went out over the weekend, and so I talked about it on Monday. The question was, is the Michigan Democratic Party being hypocritical for asking us to support a recall in another state, yet they ignore that we even have one in our state? They don't recognize any of the recall efforts, no matter how serious they are. Is there some hypocrisy in that?
No, because I think the Wisconsin situation is far different than the one we face here in Michigan. Wisconsin, as much as heinous as their public policy is, it's also driven towards personal animus from Scott Walker, and very smartly, our current governor has not played the personality card as hard as Scott Walker has. I don't think it's hypocritical in the least. I think only really one or two of these recalls has any real legs to them. I think strategically, I personally have a problem with recalls. Okay, no. I don't.
And you've made that clear. You've been very upfront about that on this show, and you and I disagree on this, but you've been very upfront about that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to enter a culture now here in the state, especially if one of these recalls work, where we will have this happen every election cycle. And I just don't see how that's good for really sane public policy. I'm looking long-term down the road. I think recall slates are going to be the new normal here in the state from now on, because it's just so easy to do, so easy to file the language. But back to your question, I don't think it's hypocritical at all. I mean, I think these situations here in Michigan are nowhere near ripe for recall like they are in the state of Wisconsin. And I think Paul Scott and Flint is going to be the only one I think that is going to be successful.
Well, fair enough. Well, just so folks know, former Republican Party, Michigan Republican Party interim executive director Stu Sandler is the one who is organizing these recall efforts against Democrats statewide. Most of them, by the way, in southeast Michigan. A few exceptions, Gretchen Whitmer being one, Charles Bruner being another. Obviously, this takes resources away from some Democrats at some point, you know, but we still have the process. The process is the clarity hearing and then the petitions and then the signatures and then the turning them in, you know, and so, you know, in the bigger picture, you know, you look at the petition language and these clarity hearings, and we see Republicans are fighting tooth and nail to not even allow people to go out and get signatures. Are they creating their own dysfunctional culture? You know, what if Jace Bolger, who's been fighting this Autumn Smith now for months, ends up winning something or losing something? Doesn't that change the whole picture of this recall process as well from a legal standpoint?
Yeah, I would defer obviously to lawyers on this subject, but yeah, I do think it alters the situation considerably, and Democrats should be very, very concerned at the expenditure of resources that the Republicans are using here. You don't get a guy like Stu Sandler involved unless there is large amounts of money behind it. Stu's one of the few Republican strategists that I have any real respect for. I think he's top of the line for what they have over there, and that should send a chill down Democrats' spines. That they've got someone of his ability and aptitude on their side orchestrating this. And I think even with all Stu's talents and skills, I think they're only going to be successful getting one or two or three of these on the ballot. And I think most Democrats will be able to fend these off quite easily. I don't think they'll even be able to gather enough signatures against many of these Democrats. But there's a guy like Charlie Bruner up in Bay City. He's strong enough politically on his own to beat some of this back. A guy like Phil Kavanaugh, maybe not, you know, but they only need one or two to change the culture, and you have a dysfunctional political culture now. Just imagine if some of these recalls are successful.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens. This, to me, this is big news, and it'll be interesting to see how the Main Street media, and this is out now, it'll be interesting to see how the Main Street media reports this. If they give it any weight at all, they may not. I can't speak for them, and I'm not part of them, and I'm not one of them. So we'll just let that. We'll just let this thing play out the way it plays out. But again, you look at this list, And you just kind of shake your head because in some of these districts, they are like Glenn Anderson's district. You know, there's no way they're going to recall this guy in his district. They love this guy in his district.
That's absolutely true, but that goes back to my point that the vast majority of these folks are going to be able to fend this off themselves. You've got some weaker Democrats who frankly, I think, have not actually been announced as recall targets who I think are going to have a hell of a time beating this back. And
well,
the results on public policy, I think, are going to be disastrous.
Well, again, I think the real point to be made here, which is where you started this off and which is where we'll kind of end our discussion for this week, this is about, you know, it goes back to the three-word phrase I use on this show all the time, follow the money. And for the Republicans, this is truly about following the money. If we get to the bottom line here, what we're going to find out is this was a well-financed campaign, well-organized by political operatives. And you're right, this is not a grassroots campaign, never will be. But, you know, we're talking about they're going to be able to hire, you know, people to go out and gather petitions. You know, they're going to do this in a very different way than the recall Rick Snyder folks are doing it.
Absolutely. That's like you said, follow the money. They have it, we don't.
Now, and they do have it, and we don't at this point. You know, and it very quickly, it brings me back to Wisconsin on Tuesday, where we saw money versus people, and people actually had some success versus money, but not nearly as successful, of course. They didn't get the three seats they wanted, Joe. And, you know, therefore, what do we learn from that? Well, we'll see. Let me quickly go to a call because we're almost done with this segment. And let me welcome Kelly in Redford. And Kelly, welcome to First Shift. I'm just going to ask you to get to your point right away, please.
Well, it just seems to me that some of the state reps that voted for the teacher tenure bill are, you know, I know a lot of teachers, and my father was a founding member of the Detroit Federation of Teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And these people are not happy with these Democrats.
Well, there are a couple of Democrats. I mean, you know, and Kelly, thank you for the call. Phil Kavanaugh may have an issue because of his vote on that. Joe?
Yeah, he absolutely will have an issue with that. And I think a couple other lawmakers on the recall list are going to have a problem. You know, I think one of the founding rules of politics that I abide by are dance with the ones that brought you. And, you know, if you're a Democrat, I don't think you thumb your nose at your dance partners. And in many cases, and frankly, all the cases, the dancing partner is organized labor.
All right. Well, we just have to leave it there. Enjoy the rest of your vacation. We'll look forward to seeing you in studio next Friday.
Excellent. Can't wait.
All right. Joe DeSano again with Main Street Strategies. We're going to wrap it up on the other side. If you want to join us, one last chance to do it, and that chance is now. 888-552-3595. I'm Tony Trupiano. This is First Shift. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW.
Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Middle-class workers like you shouldn't be bearing all the burden. You work too hard for someone to ask you to pay more so that somebody who's making millions or billions of dollars can pay less.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2011 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have yet to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says Register to Vote. We all care about our democracy, sure we do. But if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are about voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we've all had enough of that. Go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button right now and register. Thank you.
Hey, Detroit! Hey, Motor City, it's Mama talking to you. That's right, Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show is coming to Detroit. Yes, the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour starring me, John Fugelsang, and Aisha Tyler hits the Detroit Opera House Saturday, August 20th at 8 p.m. Go to sexyliberal.com to get tickets or go right to the box office at Detroit Opera House. It's stand-up, it's panel, it's Q&A. It's a Sexy Liberal Town Hall. Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Show. Can't wait to see Detroit. Sexyliberal.com. Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
When the show is done, the party has just begun. Join the staff of First Shift and the cast of the Sexy Liberal Tour for an after party you will talk about for a long time to come. Immediately following the show, join Tony, Jeff, and Todd with Stephanie and her crew
Saturday, August 20th
and nosh on some delicious goodies like beef brisket, jumbo shrimp, imported cheeses and olives, and grilled chicken. While rubbing elbows with some of the people you listen to every day, and in the process, help us as we will donate all the proceeds to Planned Parenthood's advocacy efforts as we team with the Sexy Liberal Tour and their donation as well. For just $20 per person, you will end your evening with great food, great conversation, and what will sure to be some stories to tell. Send a check or money order to the Tony Truppiano Show at P.O. Box 1027, Dearborn Heights, Michigan 48127. You may pay at the door that evening, but you must RSVP. VP in advance to Tony at thetonyshow.org by Friday, August 19th at noon.
Come on, Detroit. Time to get your sexy on.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support. Call Tony and be heard. 1-888-552-3595. This is First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
Yeah, a couple things. I want to reiterate something I said earlier on in the show. I actually want to reread something I read earlier on this show. I was, if you have not been with us all morning, I was honored to be asked by UAW Local 174 to march with them in the Labor Day Parade this September 5th, and to come to their picnic afterwards and to speak there, and just honored. I mean, I'm honored that they asked me to do that. On their website, I went to check out their website, look at their officers. I'm just that kind of guy. I found a quote that I wanted to share with you that I read earlier in the show today. And it goes like this. It is the same old story of the few having too much and the many not having enough. We want a hospital and medical plan. We want to remove the economic barriers which block good health to the average family in America. That is the challenge before us. We have all the tools in America to conquer human insecurity. It is a question of whether people are going to use them or whether we are going to be blocked by the powers that be in Wall Street. Well, that was Walter Reuther in an address to the 12th UAW Constitutional Convention in 1949. Again, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And, Jeff, I thought I would share with this audience an answer, if you will. We, of course, on the show on Tuesday, I believe, spoke with David Hecker about the Detroit Public Schools emergency manager Roy Roberts purchasing a $40,000 chauffeured vehicle for him. You'll recall that, of course, Jeff.
That's right. I heard he had a response.
He does have a response, and he said, "Hey, listen. On a recent trip to meetings on Mackinac Island, the SUV used to chauffeur the DPS leader experienced car trouble. The repairs cost $11,000." This is what he said. "I had more than 111,000 miles on it. It was in total disrepair," said Roberts, a former high-level executive for GM. He defended the purchase as a good buy. "We're ahead of the game now," he said. Roberts is paid $250,000 a year and is taking a 10% pay cut along with the district's other 10,000 employees. The prior two DPS leaders earned between $280,000 and an excess of $400,000. The DPS leader is typically driven around in a DPS vehicle by an armed DPS police officer. Here's the key, Jeff. Asked why he won't use his own car, Roberts said, and I'm quoting him verbatim, "I would if they paid me like they pay other superintendents." I'll just let that speak for itself.
Yeah, I would as well.
Okay. By the way, did you notice that after we posted the Bert and Ernie thing on Facebook yesterday, it kind of died real fast?
It did. I saw there's 10 responses, so.
But it was it. I mean, that was it. It was done. I mean, once it was responded on, and even nationally, after the afternoon, you and I were on the phone, what time, at 1 o'clock or so? And it looked like, man, this was, for those people who don't know what we're talking about, somebody had started a Facebook page to encourage the workshop, which produces Sesame Street, to wed Bert and Ernie, to make them a gay couple. And their response, of course, was really quite interesting. Actually, the response to it, let me read it here real quick. Bert and Ernie are best friends, that goes on to say, Jeff, they were created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends and those who are very different from themselves. Even though they are identified as male characters and possess many human traits and characteristics, they remain puppets and do not have sexual orientation. Touche, Jeff?
I just thought, yeah, it was funny that Time Magazine had something this morning. They tweeted something about it this morning. Fox News covered it. The Daily Show with Jon Stewart covered it. And it was like, I started hearing more and more about it. So I was like, maybe we should throw something up on Facebook and see what people have to say. But it seemed like everyone was on board with this.
Yeah, I mean, and the people that had a problem with it, it wasn't like, oh, my God, this is horrible. They were just like, come on, this is a kid's show. I mean, that's it. I really thought that there would be this great divide, and it never occurred.
No, most people, most people had the thought that it's just two guys who are, I think Sesame Street even said, they're best friends. Why can't they just be two guys that hang out a lot and they're best friends?
Well, you and I were having a conversation, and actually this conversation bled into my dinner last night because you were saying, listen, there aren't television shows anymore that are just about, two dude roommates or two female roommates and what their lives are like. It's got to be, gay people or mixed race, and it's like, if it's not this something remarkable, then, we're not seeing it anymore, and you're right. By the way, I've asked now five or six people, and there's no connect. Nobody knows what I'm talking about, single guys and cats. Nobody's getting that.
Oh, come on.
No one's getting it.
Maybe we'll ask Todd, because we have yet to
All right,
ask
Todd, sit up straight. I know that's going to hurt your back, but sit up straight a minute. Here's the question. Well, I don't know how to even ask this. I just don't know. I mean, it's just kind of different. But if a single guy has a cat, would you consider him to be gay?
No, that doesn't make any sense. I don't know.
All right, Bradford. So this one's on you.
I didn't say that. That's what it means. I said I've talked to people who say if you're a young single guy and you have a cat, people tend to think, oh, something's wrong. Something's a little off about him. I shouldn't even say that. Not off. People make the joke that he's gay.
All right, but nobody, I've asked people, and nobody seems to know what the heck I'm talking about when I said that.
It's weird. Maybe I just talked to the wrong people then.
Well, I didn't say that. I'm thinking maybe it's just your group of friends, for some reason, are perpetuating this myth about cats and men. I don't know.
Again, maybe I'm talking to the wrong people.
Okay, well, we'll see what we can do about finding a different group of people for you to talk to. All right, what's going on this weekend, Todd? Obviously, today's your last day of school. You go on the payroll on Monday. I don't know, maybe. You've been late all week. What's up with that?
Well, I'll be on time once I get paid.
Oh! Okay, yeah, solidarity forever. Okay, besides your last day of school at Specs Howard, what do you have planned for this weekend besides raping me come Monday?
A whole lot of hanging out, just recharging the engines for Monday, I guess.
Oh, my God, you are just something else. Yeah, I'll be on time on Monday. I'm getting paid. Okay, well, that worked out really well for you, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, you know it.
Okay.
Jeff. I like how he slowly walked into that. You're like, what's up with that? Well, and then bam, just hit. That's why I was busted out laughing. It was
wow. Oh, well, at least we know he's telling the truth, right?
That's right.
The sweet God. Anyway, what do you got going on this weekend, Jeff?
I'm assuming University of Michigan has their football team media day on Sunday and fan day, so I'm going out to that.
Are you going there as an employee of WDFN?
Yes.
Okay. So you're getting paid to go cover that. And do you have to work tomorrow?
No, not tomorrow. Tomorrow, okay. Actually, just Sunday.
So now this thing on Sunday, is it like you go, you cover it, do you have to come back and do some kind of audio package, or are you done after that?
Yeah, I got to come back, cut it up, and they'll use it all week on DFN.
Okay, good. Well, that should be fun. At least, you know, again, this is something that you enjoy doing, unlike my show, which is just an inconvenience, but it is a paycheck.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, you weren't supposed to agree with me. How can you say something like that?
Well, hey, I'm getting paid by you, right? I mean, that's what we learned today.
Yeah, so much for going out to breakfast today, guys. All right, that's it for us for this week. I hope everybody has a nice weekend. For Jeff and Todd, I'm Tony Truppiano. Again, off-air, Tony at thetonyshow.org. And as always, I ask that you be well.
DTW Motor City Weather.
The forecast from the National Weather Service today, sunny, a high right around 82 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy, a low around 66. And then tomorrow, the clouds move in. Some showers and thunderstorms in there too, a high around 76 degrees. Currently, it's fair and 65 at Detroit City Airport. More of First Shift returning on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody.
1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Truppiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
1310 WDTW.
Identify.